Oh my goodness.
Oh my. We're back. Best Show's back for another Tuesday night here. It is now September. September of 2017. Can you believe it? The time flies, right? Right? Right, Mike? How we doing, Mike? You all right? You a little sad? So on Twin Peaks, did that drunk come back? Ah, good. The drunk was in the last episode. Guy held out on us, couldn't give us a scoop. Jeff, whatever. We have an exciting show for you tonight. We have Christina and John from Boss Hog. Christina Martinez, John Spencer, Boss Hog, and all the other bands, and that's in studio. They're going to be on very shortly. We have that. I think Miss Alex White's going to stop by later. You know her from White Mystery. But tonight, the debut, finally, the artistry of vape meets the artistry of ventriloquism. Vape-triloquism. I was looking for my idea, the one idea that would be the idea that would put me on the map, the big play. And I think it's here finally. Vape-triloquism. I'll say this, I almost threw up testing the vape thing. It is not a natural fit into my life. Neither is ventriloquism. These things are bad fits for me. These are bad fits. Maybe two negatives will make a positive, like in math. That's a math thing, right? I don't know. I was so bad in school. As bad as I was in school, just ask yourself this. You know, I was bad in school. You think math would have been one of the things I was good at? No, that was the worst. I don't know math. I don't know science. I like reading books, I guess. Not really. I don't know, but one thing I do know, it's time for the best show. Let's just start the show and everybody have fun. It's September. Right, Mike? Yeah, here we go. It's best show. 3 hours. Murph. Music. And all the rest. Show and our best show here. Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome here. You. It's Tuesday night in September 2017. What's going on? It's rainy again. Don't stop with this rain. Oh, the phone number, 201-332-3484. That's the number here on The Best Show. What did we just hear? We just heard Boss Hogg from their new album, Brood X. We heard Formula X. It's on In the Red. And Christina and John are going to be in the studio very shortly. Oh, isn't it great when I talk in that voice? Isn't that, who doesn't want more of that? That strangely belabored talking to you like you're a 6-year-old. I always do that. Like, I'll be out, and then I'll just say to someone, like, are you having fun? Are you having a good time? Like, I'm talking to a little child. I don't like it. Look, these are the things I'm going to start to pick apart with myself. I'm not starting with that. That one, that can stand. Got a full house tonight. Got Mike is here. Mike, who's very fired up. This guy, he's so pumped. He was telling me there's exciting things over at apmike.bandcamp.com. Told me to just tell people to go check it out. And that they should just buy whatever they don't have yet. We got Dudio, of course, holding it down. The dude who built the studio, Dudio. And Pat. Who, this Saturday, Pat? This Saturday, Victory Lap on WFMU, Pat, Saturday night. 9 to midnight. Prove It All Night. His exciting show. Putting a nice bow on it for the time being. Get in on the action. Listen this Saturday. Prove It All Night. With my guy, Pat Byrne. And who's good here, Mike? One? I don't know. I'm suspicious of this. I'm always nervous with the ones who call in very early in the show. I mean, someone's got an agenda when they call that early. Best Show, hi. Hello, hi. Hello? Oh, come on. Oh, Mike. Mike, what are you doing? Oh. Oh. Is that how we start the show? Is that how I start, really? You're on thin ice. 2 weeks ago, we got the guy who played the drunk on Twin Peaks to call in. Then Dudio got David Crosby to call last week. Reducing Mike's Mike's accomplishment was just the dust. Best Show, hi.
Hey, is this Tom?
It is. Hi. To whom am I speaking?
Hey, this is Andrew from Indiana.
Hi, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Where in Indiana are you, Andrew?
I'm in a little town called Shelbyville.
Okay. What's
about
that?
About an hour south from Indy.
Okay. All right. So what's going on tonight, Andrew?
Not much.
Nothing?
Yeah.
Ah, so why not call a show? Be the first call on the show. I got nothing. Yeah. I got nothing to say.
I was just going to talk about... You mentioned your first introduction to Kurt Vile with Square Shells, yeah?
Was that my first introduction to him? No, that was not my first introduction to him.
Oh, I thought that's what he said.
You thought wrong, my friend.
All right. Well, I thought we had an interesting.
Well, this is a faulty call for just a variety of reasons, right? Look, we tried. We gave it our best, right?
Yeah, I agree.
What are you going to do? It's like that song, Didn't We, right? Remember Didn't We? The late, great Richard Harris? Didn't We?
Not familiar.
Another thing we don't have in common. Well, check that song out. You'll get it. Oh, boy. Oh, no. It's bad footing. Bad footing. Bad footing. You know, you could not get me to do walk across those bridges, speaking of footing. Like those in every movie, there's always somebody has to run across one of those, like, bridges that are just like planks. Oh, goody. Get out. This guy got David Crosby to call this week, now throwing him out within 5 seconds. I don't know. I think the rain put me in a bad mood. Here we go. This guy, I'm going to take one, Mike. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
It's going well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Ryan in Horsham, Pennsylvania.
How are you tonight, Ryan?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm good. Anything? No?
Well, since the topic is sort of vape adjacent, I was hoping to share a pretty wild story, something that happened to me at the movie theater recently.
You vape? What happened at the movie? You were vaping at a movie theater?
No, not me. I went to go see Good Time. Have you seen that yet, by the way?
I have not seen it yet. People like
they should have. Oh, they should have called it Great Time. Sorry.
That's fine. You enjoyed Good Time?
Quite a bit. Yeah. Well, except for one aspect of the theater experience, it was a pretty empty theater, just me and one other couple, like three rows ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that sort of first look thing that Maria Menounos does?
Yeah, like if you get to the movie theater like 90 minutes early.
Yeah. Which I guess this was my punishment. Like halfway through, one half of the couple, I can't remember who it was, turned around and was like, do you mind if we vape? And I don't want to be the guy that says no. They don't ask you that if they think you're going to say no. You know what I mean?
Oh, they were telling you they were going to vape.
Basically, yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So while this is going on, I stood up because we're still halfway through the first look. I'm going to go grab a refill on my drink because I'm a big soda guy.
So you go get more soda.
I look over. Not only are they both vaping, dude's got e-cigarettes for legs.
Oh, you got me. You got me. This guy. Did he hang up? He hung up. He got me. This guy. I give that guy credit. He's on his own journey with these calls. They make sense to just him. He leads me down a road playing into what I would seemingly want a caller to do. And then he just says something about e-cigarettes for legs and then hangs up. Couldn't catch him, could you, Mike? No. Changes his voice. Boy, was he Mel Blanc? Guy changed his voice. That was his voice. You're all on thin ice. And order, if you guys want pizza, get pizza. Hey, Pat, if you want pizza, go. I'll put a pizza order together. I know you guys like pizza. Besho, hi.
Hello?
Yes, hi. Welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. To whom am I speaking?
Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. What's going on tonight?
Well, I have a very strange story, and it's kind of relating to that caller that you just had. because I was listening to, I think it must have been an archived episode or something like that, maybe a week ago or something, and it was my first experience with that particular caller calling in, so it really took me by surprise, and I wasn't used to the traps that he sets for you. So it just so happens that I am literally I'm 29 years old, and I need a hip replacement, which is a very invasive procedure and kind of unexpected for somebody my age. But
yeah.
I had a pretty terrible injury happen, and
I'm sorry.
So I've been pretty immobilized for a while, and so you know your show obviously it's helping to with the process of basically being completely inert for long periods of time.
That's great.
And it's, yeah, no,
there's certainly
really
enough of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Aimed at people with injuries. This show.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah, there seems to be a lot of people that call you like from the hospital bed or something like that.
This is who listens to this show.
Nice. Yeah, exactly.
Toll booth operators.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a captive audience. Yeah, for sure. But it's appreciated. You know, we all love it. So, anyway, so this guy calls and you know, I'm not used to these
phones. One of those phones that you can't hear what the other person's saying, right? You got one of those one-way phones?
Yeah, I did not have you on speaker. Is that noticeable?
That's all right. I was saying a few things and you didn't hear me. It's okay. Go ahead. Go ahead with your thing.
So anyway, so he calls in and he starts telling this story, this kind of sad sack story about, you know, he's got this injury and he's a young guy and he's going to need to go in for a hip replacement. And I'm sitting there like in awe, like he's basically telling my story. And it was like a moment of like optimism for me almost, because I was like, oh, this is like serendipitous that this person's calling in to talk to Tom about this super specific injury and like surgery that I need to have done myself in like 3 weeks time. And then he pulls out the e-cig line and then like you basically hang up. I was so gobsmacked by that. And it was, it was a very false note of hope that I was provided for a very short amount of time. And I just thought it was so ridiculous that he managed to latch onto that.
Yeah. Prankster deluded you and you feel conned now.
Yeah. But in a weird sense, like, I guess I sort of have that begrudging respect that you also share for this person now because of that.
Look, when are you going to get your surgery, my friend?
Well, I got a pre-op appointment in about 3 weeks' time and then a surgery a little bit after that. So I basically have around a month of hobbling around. So that'll be fun.
Well, you know I want nothing but the best for you.
And the same back to you as well.
I'm not getting surgery. Why would you wish that on me?
Well, just you didn't say best of luck in the surgery. You just said best of luck sort of generally.
You're moving a little hot with your talking tonight, my friend.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening to my hot talk for a second.
You have a great night. This guy. God bless. God bless you, buddy. Get through your surgery fun. We need more of you. We need more. Do we? I guess we do, sure. So just I'll bring Christina and John in 1 second, but I want to say last week what did we raise? $500 for the, because I couldn't complain last week, so we did, and every time I complained, it was a $50 fine. So we did $250 and then we doubled it to $500 and donated it to the hurricane relief. And people were saying all week, like, what charity should you do and what's the best charity? And I found a very good thing. It's called Headshots for Houston, and it's actually a Bayonne-based charity. It's located up here. And the victims of Hurricane Harvey are going to get sent headshots of AP Mike. They're just going to send a bunch of headshots to his headshots. Basically, I went to apmike.bandcamp.com and bought his headshots, and we're sending them down to... No, that's not... We did the Houston Food Bank, which it looks like it's got a really great reputation, and people down in the area said it was the way to go. So, yeah, so we gave $500 to that, and we'll do more with, I guess I'm going to, you know, we do book sales every once in a while. I guess I'll do something like that, but instead of the money going to the to the upkeep of the studio or whatever we are putting it toward. We will put it, we'll send it down to the Houston Food Bank. Yes, so that'll go up, but we'll put a list up later in the week of books that will be for sale. And that's a good way to, you buy the thing and then all the money goes to the hurricane and you get a book out of it. How's that sound, Mike? Whatever happened with that pool I was in? We'll talk about that later. Why don't you bring my guests in, Mike? Please. Please, Mike. They're not here yet, Mike. What's going on? What's the holdup?
Mike told me to
come
do
on,
it.
Mike. Mike told you to do it? Yeah. What is he, bolted to the chair? Can't do it? Welcome. He had to walk. Freeze. Is it too cold? Is it too cold? Do you want the air off? It is. It's just like being on the David Letterman. Do you want the air off for a little bit?
No, we're fine.
It takes nothing for me to sweat. That's the thing. I sweat. If it's over 30 degrees, I start sweating.
David Letterman.
I know, right?
Shit going on in here. Oh.
All right. That's all right.
Can you?
We try not to.
Okay.
But it's okay. We're not going to get in trouble.
I'll keep my sailor mouth in check.
Christina Martinez.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Welcome.
Thank you.
John Spencer.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, thanks.
It's so exciting to have both of you here.
It's exciting to be here.
And you were stuck out there.
Wait, why do I have the spit guard?
Because we tried.
No, this
hold
is,
on a second.
We should really switch.
Wait a minute. Yeah, he spits much more than I do.
Do you want to switch chairs?
No, it's fine.
No, that's,
no, you
that's
got the good right. chair.
I just yes. like to get really close to the mic there.
That is some great mic technique, which mm-hmm. I'll tell you, most people come in here and they sit so far away from the mic.
You sit back, relax.
You got to get up. You got to swallow the mic. It's the unfortunate yeah. part of it. I'm up here. I live with this thing pressed against my face. Half the time. It's like an uncomfortable pillow that I just smash my face into this windscreen. And I can hide behind it a little bit, too, and not look at people.
I get the screen. I get the teleprompter, which is good.
You get the screen that has...
photos of you.
Photos of me. Scroll. What
That's
a treat.
So great.
Is. Oh, what a...
That's nice.
Lucky you. You drew the...
Wait, oh, what are you doing? Oh.
That... Geez. Don't worry. If you missed it, it's coming back. It will... I think there's only four pictures on it.
Wait, do you have some e-cig legs in this
oh,
photo?
Oh, no, that was... That guy has called for years.
I love it.
And it's his own private joke that he has taken public.
You have to applaud the tenacity.
Oh, I love
just,
it.
Come
yeah.
on. That's amazing.
He calls... And he just...
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
He thinks it's funny.
He hates you, yeah. He's and killing himself, right?
Right now he's doing a dance. I picture he's in like a basement apartment.
I dare him to call back.
Oh. Look, the dare, the gauntlet has been thrown down, e-cigs for
e-cigs,
legs guy.
Talk to me.
Do you have the guts to call up Boss Hogg and say your dumb e-cigs? You're going to ask a question about...
Let's see if I can catch you.
Yeah, well, I bet you could.
But do you not recognize his voice? Do you really fall for it every time?
Every time. Because he...
Sucker.
He first of all, his voice is the most generic voice going. He also waits a long time between calls, so I forget.
Well, Chris, also, he's talented.
Well, you got some experience with phone work and getting people to arrive at a certain destination in a certain amount of time. So,
little known fact, I did phone sex for a while.
So what? Maybe if this e-cig guy calls in,
you
well,
never know
person,
if I'm telling the you truth know. Or not.
You could. So look, first, let's finish up the e-cigs. You could give him some. Maybe you launch him down a new career path.
True.
he'll be.
Yeah. E-cigs. I'm sure that there's some e-cig leg fetishist out there.
Yes. Let me say, what are you wearing? He'll say, well, describe yourself. Well, I have e-cigs for legs. So when
well,
was
it
that?
Was good that he called tonight when you were talking about, well, I guess he did frame it in that way, right?
No, he wound me up. He set it up perfectly. He calls, he positions himself as if he's my dream caller. Where
exactly. I actually have a question about your vape. Yes.
He says literally everything I want a caller to do, and it's a lie. It's all a lie. And it's
that's just life, isn't
so
it?
So when were you a caller for that kind of line of work?
A caller.
A caller. Yeah, you're not a caller.
That wasn't a job.
You were a caller.
It was more like a pastime, you
sure.
know. We've all done it. We've all.
Your face. Yes. Mike's doing it right now. Right, Mike's on hold right now out there for his own call. When would that have been?
When we first moved to the city and just lived in a series of sublets for a couple weeks at a time. And after we had sold John's banjo and all of my estate sale fur coats.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we were still looking for jobs in The Voice, RIP.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And looking for apartments in The Voice. Before the internets, there was an ad for a receptionist at and I can't remember how they phrased it, but it wasn't obvious what it was. So I went to.
It never is with
right.
things.
No.
Like
there's no indication about it.
Massage
anywhere.
Parlor.
Yes.
So I was the receptionist. Okay. So I would. It doesn't end there. Uh-huh. So I did this. It was all a room, pretty much like this man cave here, mm-hmm. but full of ladies.
Sure.
And, you know, we...
This is not the most macho place. You're making it
no,
seem like...
No, I'm not. It's the cleanest man cave.
Look, there's a David Fair pick. That's probably the most macho thing in here.
And not one Fair naked painting. Lady anywhere.
No, and there's a thing from the bootleg albums
I
on
know.
The wall.
You're all very nice,
my
gentlemen.
Friend Jeff Fierzig gave me that, the guy who directed the Daniel Johnston movie. Huh. And the J.T. Leroy movie last year, which was a great movie.
Didn't see it.
It's such a good
But I
movie.
Heard it was very good.
It was really good. He brought that by. Hmm. Not saying everybody. You brought gifts also. Not saying it's a requirement.
It was ritual. I believe we're turned, like, given back.
No,
because right?
I'm not going to be like, ooh, I'll take another copy of the new album. And then, like, I'll pretend I don't have it. Like, well, because it's also a trap in, because then I'm just like... Oh, I don't have this. Like, well, you didn't get it yet. You had
you haven't heard
8
it?
Months to get it. And then I'm just like, you oh, research. I guess I'll get it. I waited for a free one.
That's what I would do.
And when I say the new album, I mean Brood X, which is, look, there's certain things I'll lay and wait for the free one to come my way.
All right, wait. So
We've
we have
done it.
Brood Stars out there. I don't know if you have that, but that was the pre-release EP where we did some, you know, a little bit, they're kind of remixed songs.
Okay.
And... has 2 songs that we play out live and 2 that we're going to play out first time ever.
You're doing a couple shows this week.
Yeah, on Friday night at Skirball and possibly at Asbury Park as well.
Friday night at the Skirball Center at NYU with the Joshua Light Show.
Thank you, John.
And then Saturday, Asbury Park, the scene, Bruce Springsteen will finally be erased from the history books.
The new boss in town.
Exactly. A new boss
is
in
right.
town.
That's right. Like a boss.
Boss Hogg are playing at?
The Wonder Bar.
The Wonder Bar with Sunshine in the Rain.
And yes.
Taiwan Housing Project.
Who are also great. That's 3 great bands.
What else are you going to do?
One low price. And it's Oyster Festival weekend there.
What more do you dirtbags want?
Some rosé, damn it.
Yeah. And so that's this. Look, if you're in this area and you don't go see Boss Hogg at one of the 2 shows, I don't know what to say to you. Because it's also not like you guys are always out and about doing it. It's you're here. You should see it while it's here. Because how long was it? Was it like 16 years between was it Whiteout? Was it like 2000 probably?
Yes.
Okay. And then... And that's you don't know when it's coming back because there was like a long don't
that's
miss
right.
it.
You know,
it could be 2032 before.
True.
No, it won't be that long, will it?
I hope not. No. We're writing again now. So.
Did you miss it for that whole long time? Because let me say, first of all, this is Boss Hog. It's a great band. You moved to New York. Because look, there's a lot of 20-year-olds listening to this show.
Okay.
They don't know what's going on. It's like 21 Pilots, guys. It's like that band,
oh,
21
yeah.
Pilots. Except...
I've heard of them.
Yeah. So, Boss Hog... So you guys moved to New York.
I was 19.
You were 19.
John
Pussy Galore is
21.
You're a couple years into Pussy Galore now, probably, right? When you
about
moved to New York?
One.
Maybe not even one.
Okay. Well, yeah. So you moved from D.C.
Yeah.
to New York.
Neil stayed behind, so.
Yeah, initially Neil Haggerty didn't come with us. And mm-hmm.
That's why
Christina was drafted to help fill out the sound, the Pussy Galore
and
sound.
Yes. You were in for how long were you in the band?
Until I got kicked out.
Until you got kicked out.
When Neil moved up.
Okay.
So. Oh, but there was a period where
there was a little bit of time.
We were a
five
piece, yeah. We did the Pussy Gold 5000
Word, true.
Record mm-hmm. released by our records.
Yes.
From,
New Jersey.
Yes.
From,
finest.
From one of the Oranges, probably, I think, right? Maybe West Orange or
Clementine.
Something. But, so yes, yeah, so that got you up to this area. Then you get. The boot, the pink slip.
That's right.
You get S-Can.
The only time I've ever been fired from anything
from
in
anything
my life.
Was a band that your husband
that's right.
was the lead singer of. It's the only time you ever lost a job.
It's true.
So then you say, I'm going to show everybody. Wait till you see this band, Boss Hog.
There was a little bit. In between, I was in the Honeymoon Killers.
Okay, that's
so
right.
So I was in the Honeymoon Killers for a bit, and then... decided I wanted to do my own thing, but didn't know anybody but John.
So
it's like, you have to be in my band then. So that's how that started.
So you put this band, because initially it was like an all-star lineup.
Yeah. So, yes. Also Jerry Teal from the Honeymoon Killers. Bob mm-hmm. Burt, who played with us, was in it. Charlie Andrus. Yes,
the late, great Charlie Andrus.
The late, great Charlie Andrus.
Who was such a great drummer.
An amazing drummer. A great person. Funny, smart, unfortunately, far too young.
Yeah. Also Kurt Wolf
from
Pussy Galore.
All the people that I just knew a few people.
Yeah.
Just sort of pulled them in, and it was a studio kind of thing.
The all-stars, because everybody else was in other bands.
Sure. Yeah. So when did it become its own – when did it become a thing where it's like, this is its own thing. This is not a place for people to come slumming and hang out and then go back to their nice – because, look, that's what it feels like for me in my whole life. I feel like this is – I do a thing, and everybody hangs out, and then they go back to their nice place. After a while, they're just like, oh, it was fun hanging out with you for a little bit. We're going back to our nice neighborhood now with all the other actual respectable people. And I'm with, and look, I'm not going to put these guys out there down, but it's like the Bad News Bears here. Right? But we get it done.
Thin door
we get it
between
done.
Us. Lock the door now.
Yeah, we got the kid on the dirt bike. What was his name again? Jackie Earl Haley. I'm not sure which one of them is Jackie Earl Haley. But at some point, Boss Hog, you go from...
Yeah, I can't remember why we did that.
Did what?
Do you? Like, started playing at more... I guess we must have been invited.
Yeah, I think we were always keen to play. And
yeah, we enjoy playing live. So I think it was probably just, you know, more and more invitation to do so. And then...
When Charlie passed, then that was
Well, that's a big leap there, right?
Well...
A couple years. And then, yes, when Charlie died, we thought we wanted to keep playing, and so recruited Jens's girlfriend to play drums at the time. So we were like Fleetwood Mac. What other bands had two? ABBA?
You know, two couples.
Yeah.
Yes. So you had Fleetwood Mac.
ABBA?
ABBA had...
Who else? Can you think of others?
I think that might be it. The
no.
third band.
Come on, the third
the
band.
The Beatles?
It's a trend.
The Beatles. I don't
the
know.
The Bee Gees?
The Bee Gees, well, that would be
a Butthole Surfers?
A thruple. An incestuous thruple.
Yes. So at some point you must have said, I want this to be a real band, though.
Right?
I don't think it was ever like...
So we never thought, like...
Suddenly one day it's
it
like...
It always seemed pretty real to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it did. It always... Of course it was.
But I mean, just where it's like, this is... Like, you're in this... Like you are in this band.
No, we were young and foolish and just got swept along and kept... I mean, you know... just doing what was great and fun and adventurous. And
but I think if I get what Tom is saying, I think with Girl Positive.
Are you now, mansplaining? Sorry. Just go ahead. No, I was just a joke.
Well, look,
come
I'm going to – let me just say what he's trying to say. Is what John is trying to say.
Are you Johnsplaining?
I'm Johnsplaining now.
Oh, he's Tomsplaining.
I'm Tomsplaining. Look, what John's trying to say is that with Girl Positive, it was – No, you go ahead, John. I think you can do it.
This is good. Who can tell us what was being said? No, you know, I think we just, I didn't think there was that much like what is this going to be? Or, you know, we weren't really coming up with a master plan of any sort. It was just, you know, the next logical step came and mm-hmm. we did it. And there was no kind of like... Yeah, you're just kids in a band. You're just doing the next thing.
Mm-hmm. We were having a good time. It wasn't that we had some, you know, strategy or master plan for world domination.
Yeah.
Now we do.
Now you do. Yeah. Yes.
Now you do.
When it's all...
Yeah, it's too late.
Yeah.
It's like too little, too late. Yeah. Damn it.
Am I sure I want to be in charge of this world? So
somebody's got to take charge.
So, yeah. So then the band... Is an endeavor in the 90s, and you guys are super busy because John, you have the Blues Explosion going at that point. Because what did Pussy Galore wrap up in like 1990, probably somewhere there?
Yeah, around there.
Then shortly after that, the Blues Explosion gets started. So now you're both in bands, and you both have the thing going. And then, but to kind of like bands go away. We see bands go away all the time, and they just. And they usually go away so quietly, too. It's usually not some big, explosive farewell. It's like...
There's no show at Madison Square Garden.
Yes. Exactly. For example. It'll be a thing where it'll be like, oh, wait, what happened to that band? And then you're just like, I guess they're maybe not a band anymore. Yeah. And then... So then being away for, like, when you start getting into that stretch where it's like 5 years, 6 years, it's like... Did you think it was going to come back at some point?
Yes.
So you always felt at some point Boss Hogg is coming back?
Yes. And I the part in there that you're missing is that we had a child. So that was something that you know kept me specifically away from doing anything, you know, that was my primary responsibility and what I wanted to be doing, not just responsibility, but desire.
Mm-hmm.
So, I did that for a while, but, I knew that at the end he would, you know, as children do, fledge. And,
yes.
And so I was expecting fully at that time to be able to come back and record a record. And it worked out perfectly. You know, there was things going on in everybody's life that sort of led to the moment when we were all ready to come back and do it. And so it was not forced or like, you know, on anybody's clock or it just kind of happened that as the best thing about Boss Hogg is that it's nobody's, you know, saying we got to do this and then, you know, then and fit the next thing in and do a record by this date. And it just sort of all happens very naturally and very easily. Mm-hmm. And it's all fun and adventure.
Yes. And so when it was time, it was time.
Correct.
And then when it was, did the songs, were you always working on ideas and things for that whole time? Or were you just
I'd write down stuff, but not really, not, you know, we write together as a band. So when it came time to write the music, we just started getting together. And really what made that happen was that our keyboard player, who we used for Whiteout, moved to the West Coast. And so we were offered a bunch of shows. You know, every couple of years we'd be offered some anniversary gig or, you know, some nice little tour in Italy or something, and we would do that. And so we ended up having to look for another keyboard player, and we found Mickey Finn. And Mickey Finn... was really, I think, instrumental in getting us to sort of be a lot more routinely rehearsing. And so I guess he wanted to learn what was going on, and it was fun, and he kind of brought a new energy to it, because as a new member does, mm-hmm. and, you know, he was very good at cataloging everything that we were writing, which up until that point we'd always done on cassette tapes. So, he introduced us to the digital age. That technology had come along. Not that we didn't have it. You know, we didn't have it before. It's not that we didn't use it. It's just that it hadn't been there. So, that coincided with Mickey Finn joining the band. And then, like, all of a sudden we found ourselves with hundreds and hundreds of hours of, you know, bits and pieces of songs that were really good. And that's when we thought, okay, well, we should
let
put a record
the new
out.
Guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort through the 500
yes,
hours.
Do the fucking homework. Oh, sorry. Homework.
That's all right. Look, you caught it early.
The circle. We really like what you're laying down on the keyboards, yes. But if you want that space in Boss Hog, if you want the job, you got to go through all these 1,500 hours of tapes. Pick out the best stuff. Choice bits.
And they're always excited to do it. The new person's always.
He was.
Like, hey, would you guys mind if I went through all this stuff and started pulling stuff
Sucker,
together? And
you're
just like, sure, I guess we can let you do that. You have to make it seem like you're doing them a favor to do it.
So when did Mickey start playing with us?
I guess it was
2008,
2009. Yeah, 2008. I think his first show was
been
a legendary show
several
in
years, you know, of you know, of writing and, and just doing whatever
Snacking.
We do. Yeah. Leading up to Brutex.
But it's here now.
Right.
And was it Arrived. Kind of a strange thing to just be like, we're back? Is it weird to just suddenly,
it is. No, people are like, well, what
different.
Were you doing? So I get tired of saying, well, I had a child. But, you know.
It's also a different world that you come back to now. You're kind of like.
Completely different.
Like the door's open and you're like, we're back. And then like you don't recognize anything that's outside the, like the space capsule. Saying that for the nerds and the ones who can now. Sometimes that's the only way they can relate to things. It's a spaceship and landed, and it's like.
So is that your demographic?
It runs pretty close to that.
Skewing pretty hard to
Look,
that.
There's a Doctor Who robe out there and a sonic
that's
screwdriver.
John's
no way.
Show.
Oh,
I'll be right back.
Oh no. Oh no. Don't worry. He'll come in wearing it. If your goal was to see
this
Jason,
is one of the biggest fights in our house because John grew up watching Doctor Who, but I'm Star Trek nerd. So I really am against Doctor Who because their science is not good. They have really, really.
There's no science.
Wait, well, they pretend to have science, which is even worse because they just make it up as they'll change the time-space continuum thing to like, oh, you can't ever meet yourself to, oh, he met himself. Like, you know, this is not good. You can't just change the rules as you go along to suit the episode narrative.
You're a big Doctor Who fan, apparently, I've been told. I was told by more than one person. Someone also told me. You know, John's a huge Doctor Who fan.
Yeah.
So.
Not proud, but no, you are proud of it. You love it.
Was that a thing?
Doctor
from,
Who and
I think
all
of
his
Doctor
companions.
Who. It always feels like Saturday afternoon, like 6 at night. It would be on like Channel 13. They would run like Doctor Who.
Well, where did you grow up? Because this is,
New
I think,
Jersey.
A, yeah. Oh,
New
okay.
Jersey.
So they maybe. Was that New Jersey and North, I think? I don't believe we had that in D.C.
Whatever Channel 13 is called, WNET or whatever. They would just run Doctor Who on early on Saturday nights. It would just be like, and I was just so much into like stuff. I would just be like, I don't think I'm exactly into this, but it's on. And I think I'm going to like watch.
There weren't as many choices back then.
Wait, so who's your favorite Doctor?
I guess the only one I liked was Tom Baker.
Yes, that's the only one.
Because I really didn't watch it. And I tried watching the new ones, and then I'm just like, I don't know.
Oh, the new Doctor Who. Yeah, well, I'm very excited. I might actually watch the coming season because the final Doctor is going to be a lady.
That's true. Not the final Doctor.
Oh, it's not? I thought it was the 13th. No,
they're already...
They already blew that science?
See,
what?
They're already
God,
on a loophole.
No!
Yes.
See, of course. It just, you
know.
You
think,
no,
in what
no.
universe would they just be like, look, guys, we wish we could keep this
series,
going.
But no.
We wish, more than anything,
we'll
we could keep Doctor
the laws of science.
But someone in 1961 said there were only 13 of these. Yeah.
Throw it out.
No. So who's your favorite Doctor, John? Dr. John.
Yes.
He would be a good Doctor Who, right? A little slower. right? Maybe a little.
What?
You maybe take a piano break every once in a while. Yeah. Dr. Who, Dr. John.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I like David Tennant.
You like David Tennant. He's...
Mm-hmm. I liked all the new doctors,
you
really.
Like Peter Capaldi.
Because they're the only ones I watched. I didn't like Peter Capaldi as much. John really liked him, but I did not like him as much.
So who's your all-time favorite doctor, then?
But I really don't watch the show.
Probably Tom Baker, because that's the one I grew
the
up with.
Only one anyone can name. The can you name them all? Doctor. Wait, I want to know.
There's the guy. My favorite. I want my favorite.
Love Tom Baker.
I want my favorite to be the sixth one who wore, like, a rainbow
the
jacket.
Most horrendous outfit.
And everyone is just like.
Yeah, the outfit's a whole other conversation.
We don't. Acknowledge that. Like,
all right, how about favorite companion? Sorry to
the dog, canine.
Amy Pond, hands down. But I didn't watch the old shows, so I don't know. I'm only referencing the new shows that John tortures me. I torture him by making him watch Game of Thrones occasionally, and I have to watch Doctor Who.
So you watch Doctor Who, and you watch Game of Thrones. I don't watch Game of Thrones or Doctor Who. My wife watches Game of Thrones. Terry loves Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones is pretty
awesome. And she was, I'll hear her in the other room screaming.
That happens at our house.
Yes. And then I'll be.
Laughing.
Yeah. I watch bad.
What do you watch?
I don't know. I started
Come on,
watching
what's your
this,
story?
What did I start watching? I was watching the show Crizzly Knows Best.
Wait a second. I think I've seen a commercial for that. Are you not serious?
I started watching it like a week because I was so fascinated by it. I don't understand what the
Good
show
Lord.
Is. Lord. Because now he has a talk show, and I'm like, how is this guy going to have a talk show?
John isn't. No,
does he wear a scarf?
He's correct me if I'm wrong, but he's the, how do I put this politely? I'm not even going to try.
He's a family man. He's a Southern family man.
Who?
And then everybody
might
who
be
watches.
Gay.
Yeah, and it's like it just seems like you're just not sure what's going on because he certainly seems.
He seems very effeminate.
And you're just not sure, but he's got like five kids and.
What channel is on?
Oh, USA Network, the
finest
home of
channel.
Everyone's favorite reality shows.
Right.
No, I'm just fascinated by this guy because he's going to have a talk show now, and that. To me, whenever anybody has a talk show, that's like, I love watching talk shows kind of flame out, whether it was like when Chevy Chase had his talk show, and Magic Johnson had his talk show, and Pat Sajak, and I just, I feel like,
I think you hit that.
I had the Hall of Highlights.
Yeah. I feel like this Todd Chrisley show has a chance to move the bar for the first time in decades since Magic Johnson. So John, you are not just in Boss Hog, the John Spencer Blues Explosion. You had an album come out like a year ago, right? A year and a half ago? A
couple of years ago, yeah.
And now you had an exciting year with Baby Driver.
Yeah.
It was very exciting. That's like, because the opening song in this movie is your song. And it's the whole song.
Yeah, they played the whole song.
They played like the 4 minutes, the opening 4 minutes of the movie, the best.
More like five.
More like five. So.
Well, wait a minute. Not only that, but the whole movie is built around that song.
Yeah.
It inspired the entire movie. So.
The whole premise is established with your song, with Bell Bottoms. And, like, how long did you know that was in the making?
The first time I met Edgar Wright, the guy who wrote and directed Baby Driver, he mentioned to me that he wanted to use Bell Bottoms for a movie. And that was maybe around 2005. I met Edgar around the release of Shaun of the Dead.
Okay. So now you're just waiting for him to get to this thing, finally.
About 3 or 4 years ago was when I think that's when Baby Driver began to ramp up into production. Because the entire movie's written around and set to and choreographed to all the music, they had to clear the rights well in advance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you knew it was happening because you knew that it had been cleared.
Yeah.
John's also in it. Did you see it?
I did. I saw it. I sat next to you when I saw it.
Oh, that's right. Oh, shit. Oh, you're right. I'm so sorry.
That's the third one.
What the hell? You're absolutely right.
I sat right next to you. I watched.
You did. You kindly sat next to us. You had better seats than we did.
It's a movie theater. It's not like it was a contest. It's not like it's better seats.
Or yes.
Like,
no.
It is a contest. You're wrong.
It is a contest. You had better seats.
So when you go to the cinema, you just show up right before the movie starts?
Right to the front row.
That's not the best seat.
That means I won. If I'm in the front row, that means I win, and I turn back, and I always seem to win when I go to the movies.
And you hit that vape.
And I vape, and my cloud goes up and blocks everyone. I say to the person next to me, you mind if I vape? If somebody said that to you at the movies, you mind if I – do either of you vape? I'm going to say no.
What's the old Steve Martin joke?
I
mind if I fart?
Yeah. Did you listen to those albums?
Oh, hell yeah. I had the poster, Best Fishes.
Because this is another – this is what I want to get to, a thing. You go through your whole career. You got Pussy Galore, scariest band going, right? All the mean
scary
faces. No, but look, just on the surface, you look at the cover.
Yes,
everybody's
mean,
scowling.
True.
It's one person scowling harder than the next.
Worked.
I've always thought that your body of work is so funny, has so much humor in it. The You Gung, right? Right?
Yeah.
That's like one of the funniest, most exciting things ever. It's like, it's exciting. It's got the best guitar sounds I've ever heard.
Thanks.
But it's also funny. Like, you can't believe how, like, there's such a sense of humor running underneath it. It's not like it's not like you're a king, it's making a King Missile record. It's not like that kind of humor.
No, it was
Please
never.
Please don't groan in the.
I'm not.
I'm kidding. You can groan all night. No. But I'm saying it's not that kind of humor. It's not like you're doing the comedy songs. But there was always a wit about the whole thing that I think maybe people didn't always pick up on.
Or they picked up on it and took it the wrong way. And mm-hmm. So it's been a bit of a stumbling block for some listeners. And you know, I think what I always try to do is describe it as a sense of play or a mm-hmm. sense of joy.
Mm-hmm.
Because no, it's not a parody record, or it's not meant to be a piss take, or
yeah. No,
we're not making comedy albums. But there is a, you know, I think for me, rock and roll is really it's an affirmation of life in some way. And
it's like on Dial M, when the bleeps are missing the curses on that. That's like I think that's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. It's the idea of putting bleeps in, but the curses, the bleeps are just getting everything but the curses. It's like, it's exciting though. It's energy. And sometimes it's funny energy. It's sometimes there's a sense of humor to it. And sometimes there's a sense of just scariness or menace or whatever, but it all adds up. It wasn't just menace and scowling is all what I guess I'm trying to say. Is that fair?
That's very fair.
A plus.
Thank you. Finally, I'm vindicated.
We'll have to have you interviewed for the documentary.
The documentary?
He understood.
Where's the Big Pussy Galore box set? Why is there not just some 10
what do you
disc
want
box set?
What are you missing?
There's got to be live stuff you guys had, live shows.
Not really. No. I mean, there's a lot of cassettes. Stuff, you know. You really want to
Mickey Finn wasn't there. Yeah.
Look, so. Mickey.
I have a milk crate full of cassettes.
Yeah.
You've got a milk crate full of, what are they, rehearsals and things?
Some rehearsals. I used to tape probably for the first 2 or 3 years of the band, I recorded every show.
Mm-hmm.
And listened back to it in the van the next day and scolded everybody for playing the wrong parts.
Were you fining the van? And then finally one day you're like, look, Christina, I love you.
That's it!
You're out! Get out of the van! No. So. Wouldn't that be the greatest box set, the live stuff? Pussy Galore Live. 10 shows. I would want to hear that.
Okay.
I would want to hear that.
Well, maybe you can.
I'd like to hear that.
Anybody wants to get in touch
with
me?
Yeah, you have, are really
write
excited
to John
about
Spencer,
project.
Care of the best show.
Yes.
Sure.
I got a lot of free time.
Can catalog this stuff? Right. Come up with some art?
Put someone to work on that. There's some clown who would digitize that stuff for you. They pay you to do it.
A nice intern, right? young intern somewhere.
Yes. I just feel like...
You said this place is empty the other 6 days of the week.
Yeah. We'll get them to come here. We'll put some kid here with like your milk crate.
The Pussy Galore sweatshop.
Yes. With a milk crate. Start digitizing.
Get that pussy sweat going.
And you can't leave until it's done. So what do you think the Boss Hog run is going to be now for this version of the band and this album? I mean, are you doing these couple shows this week?
Yes, we're doing a couple shows this weekend. We have a 2 week tour in Europe. I understand you have listeners abroad
everywhere.
And some lady listeners as well.
That was the joke. Thank you, John.
Out there. No, there's a lot of ladies who listen to this show.
Uh-huh. All fans of Doctor Who? No.
No. Well, they like
Doctor
Who.
Probably not. They're going to be Star Trek ladies, maybe.
There's plenty of Star Trek ladies.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps some Game of Thrones ladies.
Yes, and I hope... And look, you're not throwing a challenge out for people to show up in costumes.
Oh, yes, I am.
These Boss Hog shows.
Please
sounds like a veiled.
Yeah. That would make me so happy.
Yeah. If suddenly you looked out and it was just.
Saw a million Daenerys in the crowd. Mother of Dragons to my show.
Look, I feel like that's a challenge now.
True.
It'll be like, you have to be careful what you wish for, though. Suddenly people start yelling. Before you
Shame.
Know, you're playing the Game of Thrones theme, like you're working, then you're playing Star Trek themes. Yeah. You're like, well, I guess we can't play anything off the new album. We got to do this
suite. We have Star Trek sounds in and also Star Wars sounds on that Brood Star EP and that we play live.
Okay. So you're okay. Already catering to these people.
Okay.
You're already aiming it at the nerds. You're going to look out in Asbury Park. You're going to
nerds are our people.
You're going to see some C-3POs. You'll see a few.
There's a full-size R2-D2 here.
Yes.
Cooler.
If you saw
Gift of Terry. Thank you.
Gift of Terry. Terry picked that out for me.
See? Another cool, awesome chick.
Yeah. I know. I'm married to her. I'm fully aware. She's the coolest. So you're going to look out.
What's her cosplay outfit?
I don't know. I don't know what she would show up as. I don't know. She'll surprise you.
That is the challenge.
She'll surprise
you. Asbury.
On Saturday.
The Wonder Wheel. Or what's it called? The Wonder Bar.
The Wonder Bar.
Yes. You're going to look out. And you're just going to be like, oh, I guess we're actually doing a show for a room full of people in costumes now.
That would be great.
That would be great. It really would be.
And then you'll start getting booked at Comic-Con, right?
I've always wanted to go.
Why not?
Yeah, we went one year when our friend Paul Pope was here at the Javits Center.
I don't know what that's called. Oh,
that's New York Comic-Con.
Yeah. Oh,
that's sorry. Look.
All right, I'm not that level of nerd. I got to level up for sure.
It's the Javits Center. This is not super inside. The Javits Center sells out every year. You can't get in. Yeah, I've been to that thing. It's terrifying. They all scare me. Every Comic-Con scares me now because you just have people in costumes where they're limited. Their vision is limited.
So are you going to appear on a panel?
I will be on a panel at this year's Comic-Con.
Ooh, what panel?
I will be on the Steven Universe panel, which is a cartoon I do a voice on.
Oh.
Yes. So I will be... Attention, Comic-Con!
Could you please do the voice here?
I'm pretty much doing it right now.
That's it? Steven Universe sounds like?
Well, his dad, Greg.
Greg Universe.
Okay, what's something his dad would say?
Steven.
He would say, Steven! Steven! Steven!
And what channel is that on?
Cartoon Network.
Cartoon Network.
It's a very popular show. Okay. They're going to have a panel.
Oops.
Oops.
Oh, no, look.
So what were, when you were, besides Doctor Who at the pressing hour of 6 p.m.
Did you have Creature Feature? What was your daily afternoon
after school?
Did you have Count Gore Duvall here?
After school, I would generally hide from bullies. Try to get home without getting beat up. Go home. And they picked on me. I got picked
really?
On.
How many times did you get beat up?
Oh, we got picked on when I was a freshman in high school. Me and my group of loser friends. In high school, and I hear Mike laughing.
Why didn't you and the rest of the Misfit Toys get together and fight back?
Because it wasn't like there was one bully. There was 10 of them also.
How many of you?
This is not. Did that happen to you, John? And
I don't know about that. That sounded very telling.
I know.
In my family, there's famous stories about this kind of stuff happening to my older brother. That's why I was going, because I don't really want to get into telling this long story about my older brother.
Well, look, they picked on us. There were
how many of us were there?
There was probably like 5 of us.
And how many of them were there?
How many people are on a high school football team? Because that's how many there were of them.
Do you know the answer?
I don't. I just know that it didn't.
So that's how nerdy this show is?
There was a
nobody
point.
Can say how many people are on a football team?
Here's one for you. Here's one for you. Look, I watch Hard Knocks. I could talk to cutting it down to the final 53. Right? 53?
I don't know what any of that meant.
There's an HBO show called Hard Knocks where it's the preseason of an NFL team, and they have like all cameras everywhere, and they're capturing what it's like for the preseason to take shape, and they have to cut people and tell them thanks but no thanks, and you watch people's dreams just die on camera as the coach just says like no.
Is there a robotic dog in it?
There is no robotic dog.
Is there a cute assistant?
Fuck that. There we go.
Shame.
You're on the books. There's a new show now. Apparently, Andrew Dice Clay called a few weeks ago. No joke.
Really?
He called in. Kevin Corrigan was here. Do you know Kevin?
Yeah, I've seen that show. It's on Showtime, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But Kevin came by.
Is he nice?
Andrew Dice Clay?
No.
Kevin?
The other guy.
Kevin?
Yeah.
He's the sweetest guy ever. He's great.
Not a bully.
And he got his friend Andrew Dice Clay to call. And then
maybe
he called.
A bully.
And did Andrew Dice Clay bully you?
He was a bully.
He didn't bully me. I'm going to say he was not a bully. He seems like he was almost more of like a theater guy. He wanted to be on stage.
Right.
But he called and he was talking and having a good time. And then he went into a... It's like he almost felt he had to become Andrew Dice Clay. And then did like a 5-minute, it felt like 5 minutes, it might have probably like 15 seconds.
What, with all the nursery rhymes and everything?
He just went on a tirade of a thing. It was very funny, and I didn't know what to do with it.
Wait, I can't do it.
This is what happened in high school. One day, we're all hiding in the library at lunch, me and my friends. And I hear him laughing. I hear Mike, he loves when I tell stories
about me. Do you guys know each other from high school?
Me and Mike? No, he just loves.
Oh.
He's laughing because he loves me telling stories about me getting picked on.
Well, who doesn't?
Me. I don't. I'm not particularly fond of these stories.
But you're going to tell it.
So then they found us in the library, and they were like, you guys better get out of the library and come out to the football field or you're going to get it.
This is like, really? I can't believe this actually happened.
This sounds
like an after-school special.
I lived it. And then they're like, all right, you guys are going to race each other.
And why on God's earth would you A, go, and B, do what they asked you to do?
Well, because what they did to a kid a week earlier, one of our friends was, he was at the A&P, and they caught him in the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
And they made him dance on the shopping carts, like all the, you know, when they put all the shopping carts together in front of the store that you can pull your cart out. Mm-hmm. And he was dancing on it, and then he tried to get off the carts early, and then someone did like a karate. There's these kids like they know a little bit of martial arts,
right?
And they use them for like evil purposes.
Yes. Uh-huh. Do they have nunchucks on them as well?
They probably had throwing stars and nunchucks. This kid did a spin kick and kicked my friend in the throat. So everybody was just like, oh, these guys aren't messing around.
How old are you?
This is freshman year. I'm 14
years old.
So then.
Boys.
So now, when they say come out and run on the field, we come out for the race. We better get out there. I don't want to get kicked in the throat.
Oh, my God.
So we get out there, they line us up, and I'm saying to myself, I'm going to win this race. I don't care what it takes. I ran from one end of the thing to the other. I won, and they're like, all right, you're in the next round. You won. Like, wait, does anyone excuse me? Wait, I made it to the next round? 'Cause, like, you're going to let the kids who lost out of the – oh, and then thankfully I think probably the vice principal pulled up in his
– Do you remember any of their names?
I don't.
Oh, it's too bad.
I don't. I wouldn't want to. Look, I don't know where they are. I hope they're
all
happy.
Isn't that what Facebook is for?
I quit Facebook a few years ago. It was the best thing I ever did, was quit Facebook. And then I quit Twitter about a month and a half ago.
Oh,
I
nice.
Love it. Those guys out there, they just tweet out like things that are going on with the show. I'm just not on it anymore. I couldn't do it. So I don't want to know what these bullies, they might pick it back up. They might just be like, all right, we don't know who won that.
Right.
Did you ever go to your high school reunion?
No. I don't want anything to do with any of it.
You didn't graduate?
Oh, I barely graduated. Oh, I was the worst student. I think I finished second from the bottom in my class. I was so dumb. So dumb.
Now.
It is. Oh, no.
It just means you didn't like school.
No, I liked.
You're dumb.
Well, I didn't like school. I liked reading books. But I was so dumb. I was so bad at school.
Yeah, school sucks.
Dumb or just not motivated or not into it?
All of it. No, I was like.
I don't think you should equate the two. Only speaking as a mother.
Mm-hmm. Do you still think of yourself as dumb?
Sorry.
I think of myself more, and I talked about this a little bit last week, so I think of myself more as crafty than smart. Not unlike Bugs Bunny.
So is Bugs Bunny a homosexual?
No.
I knew you were going to take it there.
I don't think so. I think Bugs Bunny...
Just because this came up with a friend recently.
Okay, well, what Bugs Bunny will do when somebody...
Cross-dresses an awful lot.
Sure.
But I don't think that... Well, why are we assigning sexuality to a cartoon?
Thank you, Christina. What he's doing is he's mentally dismantling his foe. It's like he's almost like doing CIA techniques.
Why didn't you do some of that Bugs Bunny CIA shit with the bullies?
Ninja.
You just weren't there.
I wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
I was
so speaking of Bugs Bunny, so you come home after getting the business from the bullies, you turn on the TV.
Yeah, and probably watch
Happy Days.
I liked a lot of shows like that.
Happy Days, like all of those shows were on after school. Happy Days.
Watch Happy Days.
Laverne and Shirley.
Alice.
Joni and Chachi.
After school?
Alice?
What? How old are you people?
Reruns. I watch reruns.
Rerun and what's happening? What's Happening.
I liked What's Happening a whole lot.
Yeah. What?
Where I grew up, it was Genie, Munsters.
Oh, yeah, Genie Munsters.
Star Trek. It was the stuff that was in syndication.
So you had the...
You guys grew up in the fancy neighborhood.
Yes, with the fancy neighborhood with the
I had
fancy
three
reruns.
Channels.
Yeah, we had the fancy reruns while you had your
That's true. We had the
lowly
Munsters. Oh, this is another big one at our house. Munsters or Addams Family?
I would go with the Munsters.
You would be on John's team.
Okay. I think because it feels less kind of like, I think it's Star Wars versus Star Trek in
exactly.
a way you can
well,
say.
Well, no, because I like both of those solidly. Okay. So I think it's Star Trek versus Doctor Who.
Well, I would say, okay. I would say, I think there's bad puns on the Addams Family. I'd always feel kind of like groaners would just like, that
a little
I
bit,
was
but it
not.
Was more gothy.
Yeah. And there's also the idea of a house with a vampire
Wednesday
and a
Addams
Frankenstein.
Is a hero, though, like, you know, and Morticia. For the ladies, I think it was more about. Although I like the cousin, the normal cousin was hilarious.
Marilyn.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, how about.
Little Eddie.
Well, I guess I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched is also another debate.
Those were.
But I think that would have to be Bewitched, though, right?
Bewitched.
Because then.
I'm not even going to go into
You've got to go into this now.
I'm not. I don't no. want to. Nope,
She's
I don't
got
want
a whole
to.
Fetish.
I have a whole fetish
this childhood.
Thing about I Dream of Jeannie because it was that bottle that she lived in was nuts. So
looks very comfortable in that bottle.
It doesn't. Plus it also looks very like sex Denny to mm-hmm. me. So as a child, I was like, what's happening there? Mm-hmm. What happens yes. in the bottle? I was very confused mm-hmm. by that.
But then, meanwhile, you have on Bewitched, you have Agnes Moorehead.
Yes.
And Paul Lynn.
Oh, Dr. Bombay. She'd always Dr. Been, Bombay, yeah. yeah.
And then you also had Elizabeth Montgomery with where she would do her evil cousin.
Serena?
Yes.
Yes.
The evil. The greatest.
She was the greatest.
Yes. And
another one of the very good, like, blonde, brunette.
Mm-hmm.
More.
Because she did the she did that song with Boyce and Hart wrote that song that she did, Blow You a Kiss in the Wind, that Red Cross did on one of their, on Teen Babes from Monsanto.
I did not know that.
They covered the song from Bewitched.
Oh.
Because Boyce and Hart wanted an episode of Bewitched where mm-hmm. I think Serena wanted to be famous and she made Boyce and Hart appear suddenly. The guys who wrote Last Train to Clarksville now were summoned. They suddenly went. And suddenly
what a just, treat for the studio yeah, audience.
Just like, hey, you know the Monkees. These are
the
we
guys get to
who
see Davy Jones? Yeah. No, no, you get to, this is even better. Two these guys, are the guys that wrote the song. Yeah.
We couldn't put these guys on the Monkees because they are not very camera friendly, but we're going to have them on Bewitched tonight.
The Monkees were on too. Another good show.
Yes.
After,
watch after the Monkees. And I want to say this about the Monkees. That's a, oh my goodness, what a transition that is, a segue.
You're welcome.
Difficult people this week. My friend Julie Klausner, I got to work on the show, and the episode that just came out today, Mickey Dolenz is on the episode.
Wow.
It is so funny. It is so funny. Mickey Dolenz is on it. Patton Oswalt's on it. John Benjamin's on it. It's one of the best episodes of the season. It is. And Mickey Dolenz, this is a tour de force from Mickey Dolenz. I'm not kidding. If you want to see Mickey Dolenz, go for it. This is, you should watch the new episode of Difficult People, which is on Hulu. So.
Is it on regular TV?
No, just Hulu.
Just Hulu.
So what did you do for the season?
I wrote.
You wrote?
Yeah. So I got to write. And this episode is maybe my favorite of the season, so. So well, what's
we ran into you at that?
Yeah,
you introduced that's right. it to us,
and
to
it was actually Julie's seats, right? That were better.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not. Please, you think I was invited to that thing? No, I only got in because Julie was like, "Hey, you want to go to the movie with me?" Like, yes, please. I would have been outside that with like an autograph book, being like, "Baby Driver, please sign my autograph book." Not sure what the guy's name is. Please, Baby Driver.
Ansel Elgort.
Yes. He's a very handsome guy walking around. You always, it's funny when you see like an actor like that, like a young actor. You're just like, oh, you're...
an actor.
Yeah, you're not a human being almost at this point. You're like... So what's coming up next after the European tour and everything? Are you going to...
Yeah, we're big in Germany.
Are you going to be in Germany?
No, just kidding.
Oh, okay. So
yes, after that we have no plans.
Okay.
we're starting to write again. So that's the we never have a plan.
Yeah, we're hoping this offer
probably
will come
do some
through
more tours.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we're hoping an offer will come through to take a trip to Australia, New Zealand, and Japan in January. January.
All right. So, and then you start woodshedding again.
Oh, we've already started.
We've
with
already started. We're constantly doing
right.
that. In
and
fact,
a bunch
it's hard
of wood
to keep
us
to regular rehearsal. It's more fun to play new stuff than to.
And then, is it Blues Explosion in the future? Here, is that a thing?
I don't think so. No.
Not now. No? Not for now.
Okay. Yeah. It's fine. Look, it's Boss Hog time now.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Don't make it 16 more years.
Nope. That's not going to happen. But also, can we say what else is happening?
Sure.
What else?
I'm going to say yes. Oh, you can. You've been outvoted.
Yeah. Well, you're going to go record some stuff on your own.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. That's great.
Yeah.
I think that's very exciting.
With a robot dog.
With a robot dog. It'll be your...
We'll have robots and John.
Yeah. It'll be you, canine. It'll be like with...
It actually will be robots. All
yeah.
Sorts of
go get those Chuck E. Cheese, those robots that they're throwing out now from all the... Like they're pulling
the bands. Oh, yeah,
the
animatronic yeah. things. Yeah, that's sad. I heard that people have been collecting those, and then they program them to play their own punk rock songs.
Yeah.
So you can get the Chuck E. Cheese characters doing Boss Hog song. That would be so amazing.
Yes. So if anyone...
Has one.
If anyone wants to bring their animatronic, you might want to clear it with the venue beforehand.
No, they're selling them off. They don't have any rights to them.
But just don't bring them to the... Like somebody's going to be like, yeah, these things are 400 pounds each.
I meant here.
Like, you'll be just, like, outside here, the show.
Bring it
to the Wonder Bar.
At the Pussy Galore
sweatshop. Oh, yeah, the Pussy Galore sweatshop.
Dress them like Pussy Galore.
That's what will bring Pussy Galore back, is we'll have yep. Chuck E. Cheese animatronics playing Pussy Galore box
All
set.
The hits.
That would be...
Yes.
Die, great. Bitch.
See? Full circle.
Fuck you, man.
There we go. Yep.
Pussy Stomp.
You happy, Mike?
You look like a Jew.
You happy, Mike? Mike loves it when people... Because I try to keep,
bring
I try to say
the
it's the hardest.
Cunties.
It's a hard G. There's, now Mike just passed out. All right.
All the Pussy Galore hits.
All the hits. All
well,
the
you're going to get the box performed set. Performed by animatronic animals.
Chuck E. Cheese.
The box set? Characters. Is it so wrong to ask for a box? I see some of the box sets. Billy Joel.
I'll bring
the
a milk crate set of
Billy
cassette
Joel.
Tapes.
10
the
discs
digits,
of Billy
the
Joel.
21st
stuff.
Century.
Well, Billy.
I guess they're, it's coming back, cassettes. Yeah. People are into cassettes now again. Why?
Because they didn't actually have to grow deal
up,
with
right,
them when they were actually the only option.
You know what the sad thing that's missing from cassettes is the mixtape. That's one of, and I'll tell you a nice story. One of the first things that, on our maybe the second time I met you, John drove with Julie in the Pussy Galore Mobile, the rabbit, over to my apartment. Didn't come in, just rang the bell and thrust a cassette tape in my hand and left. Like, maybe said, like, two words, and that was a mix. That was a mixtape moment, so. That is gone.
Well, kids are doing that again.
And I think, I said to you, you have to race.
You
gotta go out to
the
football field.
You
and
Julie are gonna race.
Oh, flashbacks. Getting horrible flashbacks to my past. No, never again. Please. All right, I'm going to tell everybody. Friday, Skirball Center.
Tell your Batman story. That's the worst
no.
ever.
No.
All
right.
No.
Okay.
That's for the next time.
That's
Batman
for the next
time.
Story waits till the next time. Did you have an all right time? Was it okay?
Yeah, I enjoyed it a
Good.
Lot. It was
Thank
fun.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah,
I appreciate
thanks for having
it.
Us.
No, it was my pleasure. It's exciting to have both of you here. Boss Hog was.
You know what's
going to
be. You know what's going to be exciting.
Now.
What's that?
This Friday at the Skirball Center.
Oh,
well,
then
NYU.
Here it is.
Joshua Light Show.
Come on, louder.
And then
that's Friday, September 8th. Tickets are still available.
Should put some reverb on your voice,
you
and then it'll be like
Saturday night, Asbury Park.
One night only
at the Wonder Bar. Boss Hog live with special guest Taiwan Housing Project
and
Sunshine in the Rain.
Your charges.
Yes.
You produced their record.
Yep.
Which is a great record.
Thanks.
Well, thank you both for coming by. Christina.
Thank you for having us.
John, thank you. It was so much fun. I'm going to play.
Some Red Cross?
No, I'm going to play Fear for You.
Oh,
on
old
the
school.
Way out.
Okay.
All right? We heard something from the most recent record, then we'll hear something from the record before that. All right. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
And we'll get, we're going to play this. Oh, that was Boss Hog from their record. No, there it is again. Comes back again. That was from their record, Whiteout. That was Fear for You. And they're playing. That was fun. John Spencer, Christina Martinez coming by. You have fun, Mike? Right? Why don't you come in here, Mike? For 1 second. You love this. Because it's like, generally we keep the show clean.
Yeah.
Right? You love that the last month. You know what the crazy thing is? James Murphy came in here. Yeah. Right? 3 hours.
Right.
That could have been, we could have aired that on Sesame Street.
That's
that
true.
Episode.
It's true.
Then you turn around. Mm-hmm. We got Andrew Dice Clay swearing up a storm. Got Kevin Corrigan doing his impression of John Lennon in Mean Streets. Then we got, what else happened? What are other ones?
Just what we witnessed tonight.
But who else? Didn't somebody else say something? Who else came through here that was?
No, those are the recent ones.
There was somebody. I'm blanking. But then, now this sets a new bar.
You know, I don't have anything, you know, I don't want it, you know, all the time. But sparingly, you know, I think it's refreshing.
Refreshing.
Well, I'm around that type of language all the time, so
yeah.
You know, it doesn't even faze me anymore.
Yeah. Now you're just grizzled. I think you're grizzled.
I am grizzled.
You're officially grizzled.
I am, that's true.
All right, get out. Get out. I have another friend here from friend to friend. Wait, let me know when, Mike, let me know when they're leaving. I want to say goodbye. All right? I get to bring my new friend, not new friend, the next friend, Miss Alex White. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Tam?
I'm good. It's exciting to see you. You, I'm going to say this. People say, who are the best guitarists in the game right now? And they'll say, oh, I like the guy in Fish. Right? Or I like the guy from Government Cheese or whatever band. You know who I say? Miss Alex White.
That's right.
Because you listen to it. You get that heavy sound. Because White Mystery, it's you and your crazy brother.
Francis.
Not saying you're not crazy, though. It's like, it's you and your brother. It's guitar and you singing, and he sings some.
Yep.
And he's drumming. And you guys fill the whole thing up. It's crazy how full that gets. And your guitar sound, that's heavy duty. Like, when did you know you were just like, yeah, I can lay this down and people have to deal with it?
When I was about 15 years old, I kind of let out this guttural sound. And it must have been a little bit of puberty, a little bit of what I was listening to at the time. And I think it's the combo of the guitar and the vocals, and it freaks people out, man.
That they can't handle the force of it.
But it's also like the gear that you use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I play a Rickenbacker.
Okay.
And play through a big Orange amp.
Yeah.
And I have this...
Like, who plays through an Orange amp? Like, which one of your heroes made you want to play through an Orange amp?
Well, you watch the old Black Sabbath videos, and they're playing through Orange.
Okay.
You know, and they started in 1968, which was like the same year, the MC5, Sabbath, Zeppelin, they were all going. Mm-hmm. And it represents this era, and you definitely get a different sound out of those electronics.
Yeah. It's like the 60s were over. Even though it was 68, it's like the 70s showed up 2 years before the 70s started. Because that first Led Zeppelin album is kind of the start of the 70s,
yeah.
In a way, even though it's still the 60s.
Although tomorrow I'm doing something, I'm fulfilling one of my dreams, which is I'm going to visit the Electro-Harmonics Factory tomorrow, which is where they produce the Big Muff pedal, which is this iconic pedal, you know, of
Super Fuzz Big Muff.
Yeah.
One of the all-time favorite records. The Mudhoney record, because they had that Big Muff pedal and the Super Fuzz pedal.
Yeah, and they make them in New York, so I'm stoked. And Mike Matthews, the guy who runs this joint, who's always chomping on a cigar. He's got a parrot on one shoulder.
A parrot.
And I just can't wait.
So you're going to go check out some pedals?
Yeah.
And stomp on the pedals?
Yeah.
So White Mystery, because your first band was Miss Alex White. The orchestra, right? What was that? I'm getting the name.
That was like my third or fourth band, but you know, maybe.
That was the first time you said, here I am on the national stage.
Here I am, everybody.
Was that in the red?
It was on In the Red, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
And what was the name of that record again?
So the first one was actually Miss Alex White and Chris Playboy, who is my pal. We were a two-piece. I was like 17 years old, mm-hmm. 16, 17.
Okay.
And he passed away.
Oh.
And Larry from In the Red was like, you got to keep playing. Mm-hmm. You got to keep going. You're too young to give up now mm-hmm. from, you know, being depressed about
it all.
And I said, look, if you put out the Chris Playboy concert on an In the Red album, mm-hmm. which was mm-hmm. the first one.
Okay.
That I'd continue playing sure. music. And then Space and Time came out on In the Red and all sorts of stuff.
And then suddenly your brother, how do you suddenly say, I'm actually going to do this thing that's just going to be me and my brother?
And Fran the Man.
Yeah.
Francis Scott Key White.
Because for people who don't know, it's an exciting thing to see because you both have this amazing red hair. It's like an explosion of red hair on stage. It's like and it's red hair everywhere.
Yeah.
When it's the two of you up there. And he's going nuts. You're going nuts. And So when did you say this is going to be the next thing, me and my brother?
Yeah, well, Fran and I were like 4 and 2 years old when we started playing music together.
Okay.
And over time, you know, I started doing what I did when I was 13, growing up in the city of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Use your imagination what we were doing on those mean streets. You know what I mean?
No, I can figure.
So we kept Francis safe. Mm-hmm. You know, until he was about 20, and then I said, all right, dude, let's go. Uh-huh. And since 2008, so we started the band on April 20th, 2008.
Uh-huh. So you started on 420.
On 420. And since then...
You hear that, Mike?
Hey. Puff.
Mike's really not into... Mike's more into...
Whippets.
He likes Coors Light and Whippets. That's his scene.
Strict diet.
Right?
Yeah.
You're never sure which one... He just goes back. He has a Whippet in one hand and a cold taste of the Rockies in his other hand.
He calls it the double silver bullet.
So you and your brother.
Yeah.
You start getting in a van together. First you make a record.
It's actually a Pontiac Vibe. We've been touring in a hatchback.
That's right, yes.
It's got 220,000 miles on it.
Oh, my God.
And we've played almost 1,000 shows since that date.
I'll say this is the other thing I admire about you and your brother. More you than your brother because he's not here.
Don't listen, Fran.
Sorry, Fran.
We love you.
If Fran was here, I'd be saying, look, Fran, this is what I admire about you. A little more than your sister.
Your height. You're tall. We love it.
No, you know what it is? This is like a self-motivated industry thing. It's like you're just doing it. You put the stuff out. Sometimes labels put singles and things out, right?
Yep.
But on the whole, you're putting the records out.
Yeah. I started a label when I was 17 years old, and we were putting 45s out.
Mm-hmm.
PayPal just came out as a thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, we can make an Angel Fire template website, slap a PayPal button on there, and start a record label.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was very, like, kind of early in the internet. And we started the label, and I was like, I can get a hang of this. And, you know, Larry in the Red put out all those Miss Alex White albums
mm-hmm.
when I was in college. But for White Mystery, I realized if we're going to put out the volume and quantity of releases that we'd like to, we got to, mm-hmm. you know, got to take it into our own paws.
Yeah, and you did take it into your own paws.
Yeah.
And how many records are there 6 albums now?
It's 8.
8!
We've released a new album every year on 420 since 2010.
You hear that, Mike? Right?
We're crazy.
So every year.
Yeah.
For 8 years.
Yeah, 2009.
You've put out an album on 420.
420. And we have a different city every year that we honor with our 420 party. So it's been in Amsterdam and San Francisco, mm-hmm. Michigan. It was in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, it was in 2012, I believe, and we had a rock and roll circus. mm-hmm. at this place called Big Sky Works, where we had our doppelganger, this woman who looks just like me, who has a Keith Richards ventriloquist dummy, uh-huh. and contortionists and okay. acrobats and, you know, band Tunnel of Love, who I absolutely love.
Sure.
The Psyched played that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so every year. But what's crazy is 2018 is our 10-year anniversary as a band.
So what's that mean? What are you going to do for that?
Well, it's a mystery. so, but Francis and I said in 2008, you know, yeah. we were young.
Mm-hmm.
And we're thinking 10 years, that's a really long time.
Yeah.
And we were committing to this band. We said, no other bands, we can't get married, we can't move away from one another, and we can't cut our hair.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
You and your brother.
Yes.
Made a decade-long pact.
Yep.
We're doing this band for 10 years.
10 freaking years.
No one gets married.
Nope. Can't move to a different city, you know, because you fall in love on tour. You're uh-huh. like, that's it, Austin, yeah, yeah. I'm staying here. I fell in love. And I had seen it happen so many times in my other groups. I was like, this one needs to be for real.
So you and your brother have held each other to this pact.
Yes.
For 10 years.
Yep.
You cannot fall in love. You cannot not live in Chicago.
Right.
And we do this band year long, year round.
Yep.
And we don't cut our hair.
Yeah, we're crazy.
So when's the last time you cut your hair then?
I did, I have to admit, trim my bangs because I couldn't see anything.
Okay, yeah.
Well,
that's just a hazardous situation.
It's a sheepdog kind of thing that I'm working uh-huh, through. Uh-huh. But Francis, he's been cut free since 2008.
Because his hair is like...
It's like super long, but we have different texture hair.
Yeah.
Even though people think we're twins, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
I have kinky, curly red hair, and he has luxurious flowing locks like Ariel from A Little Mermaid.
So it's easier for you to get by because your hair at least can spring this way and that way.
Right, yeah.
10 years.
Yeah. So now that means that we have to like kind of.
Who said? Who suggested this? Was this? Is this how you and him have operated this whole time? Where that was just like, yeah, let's do that.
Well, we started, and a couple months into it, we realized, okay, if we're gonna really do this, and mm-hmm. and the no relationship thing is part mm-hmm. of this larger concept, which is remaining independent.
Mm-hmm.
So like that meant like we never signed up with like a booking agency
yeah.
or like a licensing agent. We remained completely independent. Mm-hmm. And when you're on tour in Japan, halfway around the world,
mm-hmm.
you don't want some dude calling you like, oh, let's talk, because you got to load in and you got to rock.
Yeah.
And you don't want to have distractions when you're out there. But that means that my life is going to change a lot. On April 20th, 2018, I'm going to have to become a real woman.
So then you're both going to fall in love on April 21st of 2018. Will you have a dual? What about a white wedding? A white mystery wedding, right?
Oh, yeah. You could be the officiant.
I will do the. I will. I've done a wedding. I did vows for someone at a wedding for my friends Paloma and Hatch and Rob Hatch Miller. Paloma Basu. I did their vows. Yeah. If you and your brother get married on the same day, I will do I will officiate that wedding.
Cool. Speed dial, Tom. Yo, hey.
So now you're in Chicago. You and your brother have held steadfast.
Yeah.
To being in Chicago.
Yeah. Born and raised in the city, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's a good place to be for rock and roll.
Sure.
It's rough.
Because I hear, once in a while, I hear a little inflection in your voice that says, oh, that's right. They're from Chicago. And I'm not saying that judgy way, but what I am saying...
A perceptive way.
That nobody likes that in Chicago likes that pizza, though, right? That super thick. It's like a cake with tomato sauce
on
top.
It's a pizza pie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the ingredients are in a reverse order. Mm-hmm. So you got the sausage on the bottom, mm-hmm. then the cheese, and then the big chunky tomato
yes,
sauce.
Yes, come on. Come in. Oh, pizza delivery. Oh, my. Please come in.
We gotta go.
Okay. It was so nice to see you. Bye. Thank you.
Toodles.
Bye.
Wait, where's the pizza?
There's pizza out there.
Okay,
you want
cool.
pizza?
Wait. As long as you're not like smiting my pizza heritage.
No. I'm just saying that certain kind of pizza, I feel like it's sometimes more touristy than people who actually live in Chicago aren't like loading up on that deep dish pizza. They'd be falling asleep all over the place.
Well,
it's a city where people are working hard. Everybody'd be napping if they actually ate that pizza every day.
We got it once a week when I was a kid on Friday nights. Mm-hmm. We got the deep dish pizza.
Because your parents wanted you to fall asleep.
Maybe.
That's why they gave you the deep dish on Friday nights.
You know, I love a good Chicago-style hot dog. That is very good. Legitimately.
That's with, let me think. I'm going to now.
Let's quiz you. I'll give you $100 if you can think of every ingredient. Imaginary bucks. Okay, Tom, go for it. What are the ingredients for Chicago
style? First, you start with the hot dog bun.
Yes.
Then you put a hot dog on it.
How are they treated?
There's butter on them, I'm sure, right? They don't butter poured all
They're
over them.
They're steamed. Continue.
There's like cucumbers on them, right?
Pickles. Pickle spear.
Pickles, cucumbers.
Cucumbers.
Relish.
Yep. What kind?
Dill.
Neon green. Radioactive.
Because there's that one hot dog dude who went out of business, right? Isn't it like a hot dog, like...
The connoisseur?
What's the hot dog thing that was open 24 hours that everybody in Chicago loved? Hot dog man, or what was it called?
Well, there's a couple different famous hot dog dudes. There was Hot Dog.
Hot Dog, that's the one.
But it wasn't 24 hours, it was very selective hours, and, you know, Iggy Pop went there. He mm-hmm. had to wait in line, just like the commoner.
Sure.
You know, the common hot dog
but he
lover.
He is like a kind, he would wait on, what do you think, he's not going to, I could picture, though, maybe now he'd just be like, can I get to the front of the line with the hot dogs? I don't want to have to...
I took Fred Armisen there back in the day.
You
to
took
hot
Fred,
dogs.
Okay.
Yep. But we have to continue with the ingredients, which are sliced tomatoes.
Sauerkraut.
No, that's Seattle. No. Seattle does the cream cheese.
It's everywhere.
They with the funky sauerkraut. We don't do the sauerkraut. It ain't no brat. Celery salt.
Chopped onions.
Sliced tomatoes. And a little bit of mustard.
And just a little, just because there's no more room.
But you know what we don't like on our hot dogs?
Ketchup. Yes, right? If you saw someone eating ketchup in a white mystery shirt and they had a hot dog with ketchup on it, what would you do?
I'd have to slap it out of their hands.
You'd say?
Out of honor.
And they had a white mystery shirt on.
Yeah. I'd say, you don't do that. You don't do that, sir.
Or madam.
What they say is that ketchup is for babies. They say ketchup on your hot dogs is for babies. That's Chicago style.
You hear that, Dudio? Ketchup on hot dogs is for babies.
Remember that. Labor Day weekend.
He's a big baby. Look, he's Southern.
Oh,
this guy.
Okay.
He's from like Mississippi or somewhere.
Really?
Where are you from? Virginia. Close enough.
Oh, my God.
Down there, condiment country.
But you know, I had a Philly cheesesteak this morning.
Okay.
We played Philadelphia last mm-hmm. night. That was really
so
good.
So this morning you had a cheesesteak.
Yeah. I had mm-hmm. the provolone with
sure.
the peppers
mm-hmm.
and the onions. It was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
There's Pat's and Gino's across
yes.
the street from
yeah,
one
yeah.
another.
And where'd you go?
We went to Pat's. We were strongly advised. We went to Gino's last time.
Okay.
So I got a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B.
Ironically, you were in Philly,
mm-hmm.
but the idea that you had a cheesesteak for breakfast is maybe the most Chicago thing you could do that I've ever heard, is that you woke up and you're just like, it's cheesesteak time.
Yep.
How early are you eating this cheesesteak in the morning?
Like 11 a.m.
Okay, that's early.
Rock and roll time, that's like
yeah,
the crack of
you,
dawn.
For you, that's the crack of dawn.
Yeah.
Because you were playing, you're out and about, you're doing your thing.
Yep, we're on tour, that's why I'm here.
So where are you playing next? Where's White Mystery playing next?
Where are we playing next? Thursday, we're playing St. Vitus with that awesome band from Italy, Judah. Have you heard of them?
Yes, they're great.
G-I-U-D-A.
Oh, my God, they're so good. Yeah.
I saw them in Chicago a couple times, and that lead singer has so much charisma.
Mm-hmm.
You just, like, keep your eyes on him. So we're playing with those dudes, St. Vitus, this Thursday, so in a couple days. And then we're playing Meltasia.
Where's Meltasia?
It's up in upstate New York. Rocky Erickson from the 13th Floor Elevators
yes.
is playing. Death Valley Girls. I have a hunch you might like
wrote
them.
Wrote one of my favorite songs, Rocky Erickson. One of the saddest songs ever is this song, You Don't Love Me Yet.
No.
Do you know that song?
Which one is that? With the Elevators or like Rocky
Erickson's right,
solo?
It's that early, it's like 1970. It's like okay. Right when he was kind of fading in and out of between worlds, he was.
Yeah, right.
And this song is such a beautiful song. It will make you cry when you hear this song.
God, I love songs that can...
Oh, he's... And his shows, we saw him a while ago when he started coming back around, and it's like his voice is still great. He's still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, that is the definition of a living legend.
Yeah.
Rocky Erickson.
Yeah, so he's playing, Raekwon is playing.
The chef?
The chef, is that his?
From Wu-Tang Clan?
Yeah.
So Raekwon the chef?
Yep.
Wait, what, this is the weirdest bill ever. So Raekwon the chef and Rocky Erickson.
Correct.
And White Mystery.
Yep. Death Valley Girls.
Death Valley Girls.
Oh, that band Starcrawler that's totally blowing up from L.A. right now.
And where is this now?
It's in upstate New York. If you go to whitemystery.com, the info's there. And then we play, you know, Rochester. They got the garbage plates there in Rochester. Have you ever tried one of those?
I've never tried. No, let me see. The garbage plate is like fries and chili and cheese.
Right.
Gravy and the whole thing, like whatever they have laying around in the kitchen, they pretty much throw on the garbage
on
plate.
That thing. Yep.
Is it? Do you think of each city in food terms?
Yes, I do.
I do.
Yeah.
Then what's your favorite city? To what city are you just like? Oh, I can't wait till we get there.
It's more like I have like a single place in every city that I'm stoked to go to. So in Brooklyn, I go to Pies and Thighs.
Okay.
I kind of go straight there, and I get you know some fried chicken. In Oklahoma City, there's this place called Pho Lien Hoa, and it's the best Vietnamese food in the continental United States.
Okay.
Freaking amazing.
Now, like, if you went to, like, Bayonne, for example.
I think
the thing is there's a quick check. Mike is from Bayonne out there, and he's always saying that he said their quick check is Zagat rated. It's a 5-star Zagat, right? See, it sounds, as I'm saying it out loud, it sounds fishy.
Is he lying? Yeah.
I think he's lying.
Okay.
I don't think
we'll
a quick check is Zagat rated, unless there's two Zagats. Probably Zagnut rated. He probably means they sell Zagnuts there.
They're delicious.
Yeah.
We love them.
Right, Mike? Yeah. He'll say yes to anything at this point. Yeah. So checked out.
Zante's Indian pizza, though, in San Francisco is off the chain.
Okay, so that's what you look forward to. You just know where you're going.
Yep.
Food-wise.
Yes.
And you just go, and you eat.
Yep.
And then you rock.
Yep.
Then you load it up. Next city, whatever you do, don't cut your hair or don't fall in love. Have you ever had to say to your brother, don't you dare fall in love? Like you see like hearts in his eyes, like a cartoon. And then you have to go, do you remember the promise?
Fran is a big softie. He's very romantic. And he tends to have a gal pal, which is permissible.
Well, that's, yes. It's not saying, you guys, this is not, you're not monks.
Right. But kind of.
Kind of, I guess.
I mean, all we do is, like, play rock and roll, tour, DJ, and then when we're at home, we came out with White Mystery TV. We have all this spare time. We have a weekly TV show that we do now that's insane. And
all of this goes through whitemystery.com.
Right, yeah.
And now you have this coffee. You brought coffee.
Yeah, we got White Mystery Whole Bean, Metropolis Coffee Company, Maine, Chicago. Delicious,
this is
bold.
I was so worried it's going to be like laced, like THC coffee.
Be careful, Tom. It's crinkling. You can hear it. It's real.
It's roasted
in Chicago. It's fantastic because, you know, we actually need it to exist and to survive. So now we sell it also.
How much coffee do you drink, Miss Alex White?
I drink about 8 cups of coffee a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the cutoff? When do you say, I don't have, do you have a time cutoff for the day?
When the sun goes down.
When the sun goes down, there's no more caffeine.
Then I transition to alcohol.
That's
pretty much.
Yeah.
My kidneys are like, no.
There's this guy, this comedian, Connor O'Malley, very funny guy. He he gave me this stuff. It's this caffeine gum that's like, that they chew in, like, it's like military grade. It's like a pack of gum, but it's caffeinated. And I'm just like, I chew a piece of this. I'm telling you, within 3 minutes, I was like, I was so wired because it's gum. It went immediately into my, like, it broke right down. I felt it. And he's like, yeah, this is what it's military grade.
Yeah.
You think they're like in combat. They need this gum to kick in right away.
Mm-hmm. I'd have Nicorette on one side and that thing on the other side.
So your body would be like the angel and the devil on your shoulder, except one's a Nicorette patch and the other one is military grade chewing gum.
Or Nicoderm, the gum. So you got the caffeine gum.
So
you
pop
them
both in at the same time. Yeah.
Tom.
I'm waiting for. I think April 20th, 2018 is a good thing for everyone in a variety of ways. Do you feel like you're going to say to yourself, I'm clicking it down one notch, like click, just to not be like foot all the way to the floor?
Ooh.
When do you lift the foot a little bit?
Yeah,
Alex White.
The intention was that day to be that, right? Yeah. Where it's like, maybe I'll become like a college professor or a homemaker or something like that.
Because your mom is a photographer.
Right.
How's your mom doing?
She's great.
Is she good?
Yeah. She her whole thing that she's known for is that she photographed the Disco Demolition Derby.
Yes. Speaking of Chicago.
Yeah.
There was this DJ, Steve...
Dahl.
Steve Dahl.
Yep.
Who did this thing at a White Sox game.
Yep.
Where they had a doubleheader going, and he said it was Disco Demolition Night. Bring your disco records. And between games, we will smash them or set a bonfire. So your mom was there documenting it. Was she doing it just as a for anybody, or was she just a photographer just covering an event?
So at the time she was 24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And what sets her pictures apart and creates all this demand for them, mm-hmm. like when the BBC asks for them and that kind of thing now, is that she was the only kind of known person to this day
mm-hmm.
who was shooting it from the stands.
Okay.
From the person in her mid-20s kind of perspective, where everyone else, Chicago Tribune, the Sun-Times, they're on the field. They're taking pictures of all the people in the audience from the field and of the players. But my mom had the experience of being a rock and roller.
Yeah,
this is like the pre-Instagram era, right? Like by a long shot. It was July 12th, 1979.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were playing the Detroit Tigers.
So they're in the stands. Your mom's taking pictures of these maniacs who turned it into a riot, a low to mid-level riot, not an actual, but enough for a baseball game to get called off. The second game was
forfeited,
and your mom's snapping pictures, and they're great pictures.
Mm-hmm. They're cool.
And, yeah. And so you had this, so there's a little bit of an artistic thing in the family there, to where it feels like it's like, okay, we want to be in a band, because you said you were four.
Yeah, very young. Playing piano, banging away, and then I heard The Who when I was like 11, but I got all these great golden oldies. You were talking about tapes with John Spencer, and I'm flashing back to all of these golden oldies tape cassettes that I'd get from the dollar store that changed my life when I was a young person.
Well, what's the song that suddenly you're just like, your head exploded?
Bob O'Reilly when I was like 11. But when I was super young and I had these tapes, it was like, I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops.
So Ricky Nelson.
All over the world. That I was like, what does he mean that he has a different woman in every city? I want that too.
And then you looked at your 2-year-old brother.
Francis, we're going on a wacky, wacky adventure.
You said, hang tight, little brother. The call will come in 18 years from now.
You'll be a man then.
And you will have a drum set, and then we're hitting the road.
Yeah, and we've really covered some ground, dude. And we've gotten to know you also in that period of time, which is special.
Terry and me, and I'll say this. Because I know you're busy. You're going to go DJ tonight?
Yeah.
Where are you DJing?
Soho House.
Okay.
In the meatpacking district, as you call it.
What was that flip thing on your...
Oh, I'm wearing a limited edition swatch from 2003 that little face flips over. I got a memory foam wristband.
All right. I just didn't know if it seemed like you, the kind of thing like a weird cyanide pill would fall come out of.
A piece of caffeine gum.
I'm telling you, this Eject. Caffeine gum is bad news. I think I shaved 5 years off my life with that one piece.
Ooh.
I'll say this. You, Miss Alex White, whitemystery.com, your band, and the way you approach it, you and your brother approach this thing, it is, I love it. The records are great. The spirit of everything is great. It is completely inspirational when people set a goal and do it, and you chase it, and you chase it hard. And you have not lifted your foot from the pedal for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I know that the anniversary's coming up. I hope you say, you and Francis look and you say, like, look, maybe we're allowed to fall in love. But other than that, the only way we can fall in love is if they get in the van.
Oh, man.
They ride in the back.
Yeah.
Right?
Or like Beverly Hillbilly style, like on a rocking chair.
Yeah,
on
they
top
can go
of
up
the...
top. It's still us in the Pontiac.
Yeah. Dude.
Yeah.
I love that car.
You say, like, we're going to go a little bit harder now. Right when everybody thinks we're going to lighten up, now we double down.
Yeah.
But it's seriously, it is so great. I love it. It is inspirational when you just to see people going for it. And you are the definition of that.
Thanks, Pam.
And nobody, again, best guitarist going, Alex White. Top of the list. So, I'm going to let you go DJ now. What song should I play off FYMS, your most recent album?
Yeah. Let's see. I love Bad Neptune.
I'm going to hear Bad Neptune. So, let's listen to this. Everybody, whitemystery.com, Alex White, thank you for coming by. It is so exciting that you were here, and I love it. All right, let's listen to Bad Neptune from your most recent album. And I'm not saying what FYMS stands for either.
Yeah, find out yourself, kids.
Thank you. All right, let's listen to this now. Best show back here, Tuesday. What's up, guys? Thanks to Miss Alex White for coming by. Super cool. I told you, Mike, right? You could take a page out of her book. This apmike.bandcamp.com. Sick of it. Everybody's sick of apmike.bandcamp.com. You're always telling everybody to go check out apmike.bandcamp.com. You know what I say? Don't. Or go ahead. Whatever. It's a free country. But you know what you can also check out is sharplingandworcester.bandcamp.com. Your worst nightmare, Mike. We got all the CDs up there. We got one record that was a weird limited release up there. Vampire or Dogman. They're all priced. Downloads. Very low price there. We just heard from a giant dog. Roller Coaster. From their new album. Toy. It's on Merge. We'll see. They're coming through. They're playing at a WFMU Performance Space. What night is that? Pat? What night is that show? Friday night, the WFMU performance space. You can see a giant dog and your band is on that bill. They live. John Carpenter themed rock. Referencing the movie, They Live. Pat's band. Don't miss it. Before that, we heard Bad Neptune by White Mystery from the album FYMS. WhiteMystery.com. Best show. Hi.
Hi, Tom.
Oh, here comes Duty. What's this? Yeah, I'm not reading. Hello. This. Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
To whom am I speaking?
It's Paul from Toronto.
Paul from Toronto. What's up, Paul?
Well, I have a topic for the subject. Mike.
Mike what?
Okay. I don't know if you ever heard of the show Letterkenny.
Letterkenny?
Yeah.
No, I don't know that show.
Well, it's kind of like Trailer Park Boys, but like Ontario.
Okay, so it's a more regional Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah. And I think that He might like it.
I'll check it out. Letterkenny.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's all I got. Okay.
Paul, I thank you so much for the recommendation. Thank you, buddy. Best show. Hi.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
It's going well. To whom am I speaking?
It's Ben in Portland, Oregon, but not the Ben that's from Alex area, just to clarify.
Ben in Portland, Oregon.
So what did you say?
I said it's Ben in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'm sorry. Bad signal. I have a Frankie Teardrop Challenge story for you.
Now, hold on a second. For people who don't know, the Frankie Teardrop Challenge, that is the song by Suicide. Their epic song, Frankie Teardrop, from their first album. It's one of the scariest songs ever recorded. And the Best Show issued a challenge years ago for people to listen to the song Frankie Teardrop on their headphones in the dark and to see how long they could go listening to the song in complete darkness before they got spooked and had to yank their headphones off their head. So what, Ben, what is your story?
Well, I heard you mentioning that if people listened to Frankie Teardrop on a Ferris wheel, they would be in the Best Show Hall of Fame.
Yes.
So I was at the B-52 show at the Clark County Fair in Washington State, and they had a Ferris wheel. So I attempted the Frankie Teardrop Challenge. The first thing that happened when I got on was my phone immediately died. So I grabbed my girlfriend's phone and put up a version on YouTube. And so I guess this is more an attempted Frankie Teardrop Challenge story, because you couldn't really hear it in complete silence because the rest of the fair was so loud. But then also, the Ferris wheel ride was shorter than the actual length of the song.
So this is a Frankie Teardrop attempt.
Yeah, I guess, that's correct.
When I say Ferris, this is what I'm talking about with a Ferris wheel. You've got to add those headphones on. You got to be sitting by yourself in the one car and just having the little thing. And
yeah, next time I'm definitely going to do that. But also I'm going to have to ask what the total running time on the Ferris wheel was before I go to and write down the track
length. Yeah,
drop on my hand.
You might have to say them. I'm paying for two rounds here on the Ferris wheel.
Yeah, totally. Well, I don't want to waste any more of your time, but I thought...
Well, I appreciate the call. You're all right in my book.
I love it. It's great.
Not in the Hall of Fame. What's that?
It's great talking to you. If I'm not in the Hall of Fame, that's cool. I'm glad to share my experience with you.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. You have a great night.
Yeah.
Best show. Hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Josh in St. Paul.
Josh in St. Paul. What's going on in St. Paul tonight, Josh?
Not too much. I just got home from work.
Okay. What's work? What's work for you, my friend?
I'm actually an animal tech in a vet.
I'm losing you there. Your phone's conking out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. You're a what tech?
I'm an animal tech and a vet assistant for the Humane Society.
And what does that entail? You help with the sick animals?
Yes.
Well, that's good work, right?
Yep, and I wanted to just call and say thank you for all of the advocacy that you've given over the years. Welfare for animals and all of the charity and donations.
You know, that's nice of you to say. You don't have to thank you. That's all these animals. I look at my dog, Good and Poochie. There's times I look at this dog and I say to Good and Poochie, this dog I got from a shelter. I can say this. Go get your dog from a shelter. These shelter dogs. I get this dog, Good and Poochie. This poor dog sat in that shelter for 6 months. And I look at this dog, and I say to this dog, I don't know how you sat in that shelter for 6 minutes, let alone 6 months. This is the greatest dog I ever met in my life. I look at Good and Poochie, and I'm just like, you're the sweetest dog I've ever seen. And then the dog will burp in my face. And then I go, it's fine. Fair enough. I get it. No, but I love these dogs and cats. I've got to do a cat show, a cat show to honor the cats. I did a dog, Dogcember. What month should we do a cat thing in?
About Cattober.
Cattober, you just said it. Cattober. It happens. Mike! Mark it down, Cattober. And say this. I'm so sorry. What is your name again? I'm blank. It's confused tonight.
It's okay. It's Josh.
Josh, in Portland. Portland, where are you? No, you're in Minnesota. St. Paul. Josh in St. Paul came up with Cattober. Mark that down. Although put under it. Wasn't that hard to come up with. Dudio is now saying, I said it first. Okay. Mike, put down the Dudio said Cattober before Josh in St. Paul. I tell you what, this crew out there, Josh. Yeah, where are we at points-wise? Mike, you're at 80. I'm giving you 10 points tonight. You're up at 80. Dude, I'm taking off 15 points. You're at 85. Pat, where are you points-wise? Well, if you think it was like 30, well, you're responsible to keep track of your own points. So you know what? You're at like 0 points now. Can you remember that number? Big fat goose egg? Right? I think I was at like 30 or something. Well, here, remember this one. 0. Is that number going to be easy to wrap your head around? Josh, this is what I'm up against. Help me, Josh. Come on out from St. Paul. Let me tell you.
I think I'm needed here.
Oh, you're needed here, too. You're needed here, too, Josh. Who needs you? Get off my phone. I didn't mean to hang up on you, buddy. I'm sorry. Best show, hi.
Hey, this is Ben in Portland, the one who does carry mail.
Ben in Portland and what to what now?
I'm the one who does carry mail. There's another Ben in Portland. He didn't carry mail.
Well, he just called. We just spoke to two. Wait, you're saying that we just spoke to two Bens in Portland almost back to back?
Wow.
So what's up, Ben in Portland, the mail carrier?
Well, first I just want to say I just signed up for Patreon. Best investment I've ever made.
And let me just say, first of all, thank you, Ben. And when Ben says he signed up for Patreon, what's he talking about? Well, let me tell you what he's talking about. There's a Patreon thing for the Best Show. Now, we don't do ads anymore, although God, you wouldn't know it from these apmike.bandcamp.com thing. You'd think he was sponsoring the show the amount of times.
Buying a headshot tonight.
So you're buying a headshot tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you clearly have, being a mail carrier pays well, it's clear. you're just throwing this money around, flashing that cash all over Portland.
I work 12 hours every day this week, so I figure I can spend it, especially on the Best Show.
We all know the story. I know it. You're never going to say it. I know if I ask you, you're going to deny it. Ben makes most of his money. I know most mail carriers make 40 to 60% of their money in the month of December opening envelopes and taking cash out of envelopes and cashing checks with names not signed to them. I'm kidding. That's not how. That's horrible. These mail carriers, one's more honest than the next.
Oh, thank you.
Sure, when I was a child, did I encounter a mail carrier relieving himself in our bushes in the front lawn? I did.
Oh, yeah. We pee in bottles all the time.
This is what happened. I opened the front door of the house, and suddenly, bursting out of the bushes was our mailman. It's like, like, what?
That's correct. He could fix the bottle. That's what Gatorade was invented. Why God gave us Gatorade. Don't do it in someone's house.
Yeah.
In your house?
Yeah, in the bushes. I've had a weird life. The more I tell these stories, I'm starting to realize this was not a great life I had. Getting bullied, got mailmen relieving themselves in our bushes. He like burst out of the bushes like, whoa!
Did you report him?
No.
No. Well, thank you.
You're going to report the guy. He's going to get you.
Yeah, that's true. Right?
Suddenly, because then
he's
not going to get fired the next day. Now he's got time to tamper with the. Now he's got time to really go to town.
Oh, yeah.
So Ben, what's going on tonight?
Well, there's been so many good hip hop albums this year, and I just was curious as to which ones you've enjoyed so far.
Which hip hop albums have I enjoyed? I enjoyed the Kendrick Lamar album, of course. Everybody likes that album, right?
Yeah, it was a good one.
What other albums did I like?
I liked the new Vince Staples one. That was good.
I listened to some stuff. I didn't listen to the album though. I like Vince Staples.
Yeah.
What else? Who else? Migos.
Migos,
That album kind of ran out of gas. Runs out of gas, that album. Runs out of gas.
Exactly. One song in the Migos, sometimes half a song in, kind of runs out of gas.
Yeah, I think it runs out of
gas. I like that Denzel Curry. He's a new guy from Florida. I like him.
I don't know that. Denzel Curry?
Denzel Curry, yeah.
All right. I'll check it out. What's Denzel Curry sound like?
A little angry, kind of like... Kind of like a punk rock, hardcore kind of spirit.
All right.
Some dark stuff, but good energy.
Good.
Good lyrics.
I like that.
Yeah. I wanted to apologize. I called in for Tom Can't Complain, and I just felt bad after. It didn't feel good.
No, don't feel bad. I asked for it. Why? What did you do on it?
I did the dumb Andrew Dice Clay thing.
That was fine. It was fine.
Okay. Because you did handle that well.
Look, It was all, it was a good show. It was toward a good goal. Everybody did, you did what I asked you to do.
Okay, that's true. All right, I feel better.
Yes. All right, sure. Ben. Thanks for the
call. Thank you, Tom.
Of course. You have a grand evening.
Good night.
I'm telling you, with these guys out there. Mike's still talking about they got the drunk to call in. How many points you have, Mike? Sorry? 85. Dudio? 85. Pat? 0. That's right. Pat, you have 40 points. If you forget that number, 6 month cap on you getting more than 1 point. You'll move from 0 to 1, like you think you're Tron all of a sudden. The way you'll only be seeing zeros and ones. Throw that out for my programming friends. Little code that you have zeros and ones. Now I sound like Andy Kindler, right? I do it with zeros and ones. My ticket sales, zeros and ones. You think you're talking about the attendance of the show? So, speaking of the show, how about this? Big show coming up this Saturday. Bridge and Tunnel. Very funny sketch, a troupe. Very funny. Their 5th anniversary show. This Saturday, September 9th, 7:30 at the Pit in New York City. And that's Dudio. Get to see Jason Gore. I'm going to say this. Look, I tease the guy. But you know what? He's a funny guy. Push comes to shove, man. This dude's funny. He's funny on stage. And you go see this, you see what I'm talking about. Bridge and Tunnel 5th anniversary show, Saturday, September 9th at the Pit in New York City, 7:30. And as I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted, Patreon. That's the only place you could support the best show. That's how you support the best show. You go to patreon.com/thebestshow and you can contribute to the show on a monthly subscription basis. Whatever you can give, you can give. And we give things for different levels. There is a special thing going on now. Everybody, on October 1st, I'm going to look and see who's giving $10 or more a month. On October 1st, whoever's giving $10 or more a month is going to get a Friends of Tom card. Haven't sent them out in years. We're having special ones made. New Friends of Tom cards. I am, during the day today, I was looking at different materials. We're going to get very nice cards. They'll be very nice. As Borat himself would say, is nice. He would say that. If you saw one of these Friends of Tom cards, he'd say, is nice. So you go to patreon.com/thebestshow and $10 or more on October 1st, you get a Friends of Tom card. We'll send them out. So, yeah. What's going on that I want to talk about? So this It is coming out. It. Do you see the trailer for It? Mike?
Yeah, I did.
Now I'm not sure. With this It, right? Yeah. It's based on the Stephen King book, It. Is that the guy from Hardcore Pawn is playing It? Is that who's playing It? Less?
from Hardcore Pawn? Is that him in clown makeup? I'm 99% sure that that's the guy from Hardcore Pawn is playing it. I gotta see that. It. If I was made, if I made it, I would make sure, first of all, you make sure you get the rights to, Faith No More. What is it? Right? Drop that in. You say, what is it? Cause what is it? About a clown? It's like a sewer clown or something? I mean, the easy thing is just don't go near the sewer. Right? It's a clown in the sewer. Just stay away from the sewer grate. It's in there. Then you say, what is it? I don't know. I don't have a good... It's it. Looks spooky. Looks like I'm going to get scared. So something is like, here's an article on why clowns are scared. An article on why clowns are scary. Well, maybe because they're wearing makeup and they're super creepy. That's why they're scary. I don't know. It. I'll see it. Just a couple things I got to see before I see it. A couple movies I need to see. I can see. Got to see Rebel Without a Cause. Tootsie. Terminator 2. Shawshank Redemption. What else? What else haven't I seen? I don't think I've ever seen Terminator 2 in its entirety. And then I had my computer the other day. My computer started to go bonkers on me. New computer, under a year old. Apple. And look, I'd stop buying Apple stuff in a heartbeat. Somebody starts making stuff that is good and I can operate it cleanly, please let me know. By all means, I'll go buy something that isn't an Apple in a second. It's the worst company on the planet. So then it's not working, or it's working, but it's a little glitchy. Shouldn't be like that for a new computer. I take it to the Apple store, the Genius Bar, and I go there. The guy's like checking it out. He's like running all diagnostics on it and stuff, and trying to figure out what's not working on it and stuff. And he's like, I had some dumb, like, clean my Mac thing running on it that was like glitching up everything else. So this is what the guy says to me. Alright, you shut this down and maybe make it so it's not active all the time. It's not gonna keep throwing everything into just like being this disruptive force. Then he says, let's test it out. And I'm in the store now. And look, I've gotten the sleazy stuff on my computer. That's not how I roll. I'm sure there's some R-rated items on my computer. That's about it. It's an R-rated computer. It's not some porn palace. No. Then he goes, I'm going to open all the apps at once. And do a stress test on it. It's like the middle of a store. I'm saying to myself, I don't know what's going to pop up on this thing. He opened like 80 apps at once. And first of all, he's like, you got way too many apps on this thing. I'm like, yeah, I realize that. I realize I have apps. I don't even know. Space Gremlin or whatever. What? Space Gremlin? These are things that kept carrying over when you would, when I get a new computer, like you migrate all your info to it. Yeah, I migrate all these apps you don't even use anymore. But now I'm in the middle of the Apple Store. I'm sweating. I got sweat pouring down my face. I don't know what's going to pop up on this screen. What weird picture or whatever. It could show up with some dumb app I haven't opened in 10 years. We'll open all the apps at once and see what happens. Don't do that. Maybe give me a chance at least to turn the computer where everyone's not facing the mall. The foot traffic. I got some guy Wetzel's Pretzels looking at all my apps. Opening. It's bad form. Genius Bar. So-called genius. Not so much of a genius. Not into that. Thumbs down. You want to do half hour power tonight? Yeah, let's do that. I'll end the show at midnight for once. Because people were saying, what happened to half hour power? You know what? I get the same question. I don't know what happened. You know what happened? Show kept going long. I'm doing these shows that are going 40 minutes past the usual show time. So we'll do four now. All right? Calm down. We've only done three all year. Cool your jets. The studio, I tell you. Open call for best show staff. Ask yourself this. Can you say best show into a telephone? And then can you say, hold on a second, and press one button? If you can do that, you might be a best show call screener. If you can pick up a phone when it rings and say to the person on the other end, are you calling the best show? You might be a best show call screener. You want me to stop this, Mike? It's all right. Because you know what? You know what you guys can do? You realize you can spend your points to get me to stop saying certain things. Good to know. You know what, Mike? Giving you one more point. You're at 86 now. You're one ahead of Dudio, who got David Crosby to call last week. Well, I can't dance around this anymore. I said I would debut a new segment. I guess I have to do it. This might make me sick. Let's do it. All right. Do you guys want to come in and watch? I don't know. Is this something you want to see or film? Well, you're going to put it up live?
Oh, I could do that.
No, don't do that, please. We'll do a clip. I don't want these people staring at me. Mike, do you want to meet Billy?
Yeah.
Now, film Billy, not me so much. Try to focus on Biff, if you don't mind. I'm not directing the session here. Dudio? He left. He went home. I
do I turn this thing on again? Oh, this is the dumbest. Why am I doing this? Now, I told you all, we all look for these million-dollar ideas in life, right? What's a million-dollar? Where's my big idea? And you see sometimes these people, they come up with it, and it's the dumbest thing you ever saw in your life, and you turn around, and they got money to spend. They're buying these AP Mike headshots like it's like they're buying a bottle of water. I'm like, where's mine? When does mine show up? So finally, a month or so ago, Vapetriloquism, it dawned on me. A combination of two of my least favorite things, vaping and ventriloquism. So then I said, you know what? I'm going to do this. Vapetriloquism. And I want you all to meet my friend Billy. Billy, why don't you say hi to everybody? Well, hi, everybody.
You're not even going to make an effort to not move your lips?
Oh, I'm making an effort. This is the best I can do.
Really?
Come yeah.
On. Well, you can do better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like this. Hey, Billy, I'm Billy.
Okay.
Yeah, try that.
Hey, why don't you all to meet my friend Billy?
Hi, everybody. How's it going tonight, best show fans?
How's that?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Better? Yeah, you're getting better. Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Mike. Thanks. What are you, Jeff Dunham Jr.?
Connoisseur.
All of a sudden?
Ventriloquism connoisseur.
So, Billy, tell me what's been going on lately, Billy.
Well, I just like having a good time, and I like telling jokes for people and having a good time, and I also like to vape. I love vaping.
Now, you like vaping, eh, Billy?
Vaping is my life. That's why I'm wearing a shirt that says Vape Life.
Now, Billy, I know you're also a fan of movies. Is that correct?
Well, that's true. I love movies.
And I know you're very excited about the new Star Wars movie. Is that, that's what I heard. I've heard you talk about the new Star Wars movie, Billy. You're very excited about it.
I am very excited about the Star Wars movie. I heard there's a new character in it called Darth Vapor. He'll be the new villain in the movie is Darth Vapor.
Okay.
Why don't you take a hit of that? Now, Billy, you're a fan of vaping, right?
Oh, yeah. You see the cloud of vape smoke?
They open the door.
What are you vaping there? What are you vaping there, Billy?
Oh, it's a nicotine-free vape juice called it's orange flavored. Let me take another hit of this thing here. Vape life, baby. You know, a lot of people are pretty dumb out there when it comes to vaping.
How so, Billy?
Well, I met one guy who was so stupid, he thought a pass-through vape was something you used at a toll booth.
Okay, I guess that's some vape humor that might go over all of our heads.
Might go over our heads, but it's time for me to vape.
Ha ha ha!
going to get gassed out. Billy, do you prefer vaping outside than indoors? Because you can get overwhelmed by the smell.
Overwhelmed by the smell? Look, Mike, I like you.
Wow, that's a
you
rarity.
And I.
On this show.
You and I are on the same page, buddy.
Uh-huh. Okay.
We both like the simple things in life.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
A hot dog, a cold beer, and some Orange Crush flavored vape juice.
Like it just came out of his ears. Can you vape out of your ears?
Can I vape out of my ears? Watch this, Mike. Vape life.
Oh, man, I'm getting gassed.
You know who I don't like? Mike?
Yeah, who's that?
Pat.
Oh, yeah?
You know why?
Why?
He seems like a narc. I don't trust him.
I think the term is straight edge.
Yeah. Well, if he's straight edge, keep me away from the straight edge. You know what I'd love to do to him?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I'd like to give him a throat hit. Pat, I'm not going to say Pat's dumb. First of all, where's Dudio? He's missing all this.
Yeah.
I guess he had something better to do. I'm not going to say Pat's dumb. But he's so stupid that he thought a 650 mAh would keep his Addy charged for over 10 hours. Vape life! Uh-huh. You know what else is going to be in this new Star Wars movie? Because I heard Rian Johnson, who's directing Episode 8, is a pretty big vape fan. In addition to Darth Vapor, instead of AT-AT walkers, he's got Addy-Addy walkers. Get it? That's vape talk.
What happened
there? Vape. Well, I'm gonna throw up now.
Yeah, Billy, I'm feeling a little queasy.
Uh-huh.
I just want to say to everybody, vaping is harmless. You could do it, and there's no consequence. And people who are down on vaping, those are the real dummies. Vaping. Vape life!
That one looked like it blew off the top of his head.
I think he's dead. I think Billy died.
Oh, man.
Okay, at least there's some vape juice on the table.
I like Billy.
Thank you. And he likes you.
Yeah.
Maybe say a few words at his funeral. He's gone.
Would be an honor.
So, Pat, you're going to put some vape picture, some vape footage up?
Yes, they're uploading slowly to Instagram.
Okay.
But, there's 4 or 5 that are going on the Instagram story on Best Show for Life.
Okay.
Oh, you boy, did you miss it?
Oh man.
Jason just walked in. Oh, you missed some moment.
You missed Billy. Yeah. I'm going to need to go to the hospital. Yeah. Because, yeah. Vape life. Billy sure likes his vaping. Doesn't like Pat, Billy.
He likes Mike, though.
Yeah. He likes Mike a little more than I thought I would be comfortable with. He called Pat a narc. All right. Well, we'll do half-hour power in like 10 minutes. How about that? All right. I'll take a few calls, and then we'll do half-hour power. Vape life. And this is the kind of quality programming you get if you donate to the Patreon. This is what you need to keep alive. Vape Triloquism. Best show.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
It's going well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Ryan in Seattle.
Ryan in Seattle. What's up, Ryan?
I'm hanging out. I'm cat sitting for friends, hanging out with this cat. I know it's not Cattober yet, but...
Wait till Cattober. Are you a cat fan?
I'm more of a dog guy, but I like a cat.
You like,
I like the cat.
Also.
I like this cat.
All right. Look. Dogs, cats, can't go wrong. The world, it's a rough world now. And it's not a bad thing to get a friend to help you navigate through it. Not a bad thing. Yeah. A friend can help. So, So you're watching that your friend's cat.
Yeah, and hanging out in Seattle. It's very smoky here. Mm-hmm. So it's very smoky here too. Yeah.
The vaping that was just going on in here. I think I burned my lip.
Yep.
Have you vaped before?
A bit. I work in a smoke shop, so I'm familiar with vaping. We don't sell like a lot of like, tanks or mods or anything, but we sell the juice. So if you need any fresh vape juice in Seattle,
I don't know if I'm going to be hitting people up for more vape juice. I don't think that's a priority right now.
Was it just a zero? There's no nicotine in there? Anything?
No nicotine.
Yeah.
It was just like, what if somebody turned orange crush soda into smoke?
Oh.
I can answer what that feels like now.
I had an orange crush cake, but I haven't had an orange crush cake.
Well, big world out there for you.
It is, yeah.
All right, my friend. What's that? Go ahead.
You're gonna go see it and find out what it is.
I hope I find out what is it.
Did you ever see the SNL when they played that song and the singer? I can't remember his name, but he like
Mike Patton.
He half climbed the set like a little bit.
I do remember that. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Those were good days, right?
Yeah.
Those were good days, my friend. As Lou Reed said, those were different times.
Different times.
Right? Remember when he said that?
No. What? No.
Well, he said it.
In the song
Sweet Jane.
Oh, those were different times. Okay, fair enough.
Heavenly wine and roses. Thanks for the call, buddy. Just got that Lou Reed book, by the way. Yeah, it came. Thank you for helping me with that. Pat, 10 points. Dudio, 9 points. Yeah. What else? We'll wrap the show up in a couple minutes here. And again, I'm not, I know I made fun of these podcasts. I made fun of, the blank check. I'm done with it. It's a good show. I listened to, an episode of it. Made fun of Hamburger Men. It's a good show. I listened to an episode. It's not what I'm, God bless them all. There should be a million more podcasts. A million more, please. If God is listening, let him bring more podcasts to the world. That's what I says. I'm in this, I gotta go up against the, I gotta find some big targets here. I don't know. Some days, I feel like I could take on the world. Other days, it's like I'm hemorrhaging, confidence. Up, down, every which way, you don't know what you're gonna get some days. I don't know. I just gotta keep going. I think I just gotta dig in, make the push. I got some things I wanna do before this year's out. I told my agent on the phone. I said, look, if I don't get something good going, I'm driving my car right into the ocean. That's what I said to him. I said, countdown clock begins. Right in the ocean. We'll see. And look, I'm not making some kind of threat people should be worried about. I just got to get it together. That's all. I'm not trying to be some kind of threat person making scary. That's not at all what I'm doing. It's do or die now. Let's see, now that sounds like I'm... No, there's no die in this. Just do. I just got to do. That's all. Time to do. I could be like the video game, Mr. Do. That's what I got to do. It's time to do it. Just like Pink Fairies and Rollins said. Patreon.com/thebestshow. Give what you can. October 1st, everybody giving $10 or more gets a Friends of Tom card. Those are not going out to anyone else for any other reason. Sharpling and Worcester Live, Murmur Theater, October 21st. I know there are barely any tickets left for it. It is going to sell out very shortly. Early show's gone. Late show is almost sold out. It's a matter of time. And when it's gone, it's gone. October 21st, Murmur Theater in Brooklyn. Check it out. It's going to be a fun night. We're going to do the half hour power next. 30 minutes of unscreened rapid-fire phone calls. We'll do that. And, I think about it sometimes. You think about what this world offers, right? It's a hard world. Been hard for a lot of people. There's a lot of hard stuff coming. You know what? I'm actually going to I don't feel right being the one to talk up to do this tonight. I think it would be more appropriate if I let a friend of mine do it, my friend Billy.
You know, everybody, it could be hard out there in the world. Sometimes it's just you and your vape, your Addy, looking at the sunset, and you realize when this vape cloud dissipates, that's life. That's the real world outside of that vape cloud. And sometimes no matter how much vape smoke you're putting out, you can't run from what's out there. The vape smoke just works as a way to hide a little bit from what you'll inevitably have to face. Hey, Dudio.
Yeah.
Come on in. And you start to realize you got that vape smoke going, and you realize that yeah, you just got a vape. It's vaping. It's a vape. You just got to vape more smoke, and you get that Addy fired up, and you get that vape smoke going, and sometimes the smoke takes a shape, and it tells you about the future. And it doesn't matter what you're doing, what you're putting out, what your mods are on your thing, if you got a 650 or an 800 or a 1000. Sometimes you look yourself in the mirror and you say, I got my batteries charged. I got plenty of vape juice. And you know what? That's enough. I can go forward in life. I got my vapor and I'm going to do it. And I take it, and I bring it to my lips, and I vape. Sweet, sweet vape juice. You put the orange, you get the apple pie, whatever you want, nicotine, no nicotine, that's your call. This isn't just a life, it's a vape life, and we're all living it. Vape life forever. Billy and the Best Show say good night. Vape life forever. Half hour power coming up next.